Hey, Unnecessary Roughness listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Hey guys, just a little PSA before we get into this episode. My mic was off the whole time, Jack.
Yep. Weird setting. I'll take responsibility. It was turned on, but it wasn't. It's a weird thing. You'd have to describe the little technical issues. But because KC talks with such passion,
I'm loud.
Can still kind of hear her. It just sounds like she's like...
I'm underwater.
Underwater or in a tunnel. So we decided, instead of re-recording for an hour and 45 minutes...
we would just put it out with me sounding a little bit gargled, per se.
And
I won't
shout out Noah for salvaging as much as it can, because without Noah, we probably would have had to sit here and looked at each other again for the next hour and 45 minutes. And that could, we may have got a little bit angry at each other.
We would have definitely gotten angry. Also, we would have made Rico Bosco angry, and we all know what happens when that happens.
We decided the best plan of approach was release what we have, and...
We're sorry,
but... we still love you, and next episode, guarantee all the mics will be on.
Enjoy the show.
Is it a bad sign that we're not even in week 4 yet, and Brandon's already a dead person?
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with Brandon.
I think he's done. I think that, I mean, the whole company seems to be a little bit down bad. Hi, Rico, by the way.
What's up? Are we when?
Yeah, cold open.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know when we started that. We started doing it just because we talk about random shit off the top, and then Jack was like, this is probably kind of interesting. So usually we make fun of each other, but Brandon's not here, so I can make fun of him. He's dead. It's not even week 4.
Yeah, I don't know if he's dead. He's definitely struggling.
That's a nice way to put it.
Listen, yeah, I mean, he's interesting with sicknesses and stuff. I came in with sniffles one day. He's like, oh, I think you should go get tested upstairs. I'm like, you play hurt. You don't play injured, but you play hurt.
I think that he might be injured.
He's probably injured, so respect.
He is COVID negative, for the record. That's all we know. That's the only thing we know about it.
I don't care.
This is the
only thing is, it's like he gets injured a lot.
the son injured him a lot.
He's like, what was the thing? Brady was always on the injury report for his whole career. Yeah, it's just... could always
and
go.
Then he just, it's like, oh, I do too much. Then he just adds another show. So it's like.
But that just gives Rico Bosco a moment to shine on Unnecessary Roughness. We're happy to have him.
Yeah, we're happy.
Yeah, so how about this for the bait and switch? I know you guys brought me in for college football. What does this crew think about college basketball? What does this crew think about college basketball?
Let's start the show.
Maybe there's a marriage waiting to happen here.
Let's start the show.
I see what you're trying to do. Like, it's not the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
The kids are playing their tail off, and the coaches are screwing it up.
And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
We failed to make our coaching points and our points more compelling than their fat little girlfriends.
Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Welcome to Unnecessary Roughness, Barstool's college football podcast. As we talked about in the cold open, we have Rico Bosco and Brandon Walker.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
We call it bags, but
you call
this
it.
Isn't your fan base here more Southern? I would
yes.
say cornhole.
So you were pandering. I
play to the crowd.
About that. So, like we mentioned, Brandon is sick. So it's the crew of Katie, Jack, and myself with Rico. I assume a lot of people that listen to this podcast listen to Pick'em as well, so they know your picks.
Or they know Barstool.
Definitely. I'm seeing more of his college football picks. Everybody knows what his gambling picks are. But I was curious, who your teams are this year. Like, do you have team? I know they probably changed.
Yeah, so it's crazy because, like, we talked about it with the other day. I'll pick them with the green jerseys. Like, growing up in the Northeast, you're a Notre Dame fan. It's the only thing you can watch around here. So my and like it goes back and back. Notre Dame was the only team on TV. So that's my grandfather rooted for Notre Dame. My dad rooted for Notre Dame. I rooted for Notre Dame. Over the years, and Notre Dame just laying eggs in BCS bowls left and right. Like you still got amped up for the national championship game. You still got amped up for the playoffs. Gambling kind of gets in the way. So for the last, I think it started, I'll be honest, it started in 08, and I have the picture down in my basement, which is now in storage because the basement's underwater. That's a whole other story. But Crabtree and Texas Tech was the first team that I was like, this team can win the national championship. I think they were like 40-1, 50-1 back in like 08. I've then picked a team here and there to get behind. Kansas State was one of them for a little while. I grew up watching Oregon. Like, Oregon's been in the picture. So long story short, I'm a Notre Dame fan and grew up watching Oregon a lot when we were moving houses. You can read the thread of Twitter. Oregon was on late night all the time with those crazy uniforms. Fell in love with Oregon. So I am a Notre Dame and like an Oregon fan. But year to year, I pick a team kind of outside the top 10 to try to win the national championship. And then in the last 2 years, I kind of got bored with that because Alabama and Georgia are probably going to be in the playoffs. So I don't think that theory got thrown out.
So who is your team this year?
It's kind of weirdly, I think if you take a look at it, I think Tennessee's worth like a small spring. I think it changes via the market week to week. But Tennessee, I talked about it. I think they have an opportunity. I know going through that side is going to be very difficult. But if they beat Alabama, who looks like they obviously have flaws, you can just get to the Georgia game and see where you're at. So Tennessee right now is worth a little bit of a sprinkle. And with that said, they might not get out of Saturday. So.
And this is for national championship or
yeah,
the SEC?
I just think...
Well, they would have to play Bama twice.
They'd have to play Bama twice. They still have to play Georgia. I know it's a total uphill battle. So right now, to be honest, and like I said, like I really do think it's going to be Georgia, Alabama, or Ohio State. None of them possess great odds right now. So I don't really have any national championship futures.
It is weird to me. Like it's, I mean, working at Barstool, obviously, and, you know, Jack's from this part of the country, but he's like a UConn fan. He's
right.
Like, you know, it's crazy to think of like every single season, guys that are just gamblers pick their team based on the odds. It sounds kind of fun, to be honest, because if your team sucks 1 year, you don't have to pick them again the next year.
Yeah, and it's like, you know,
wouldn't that be something?
I feel bad. I feel like I'm turning my back on, like, all the times, like, playing the Notre Dame fight song as a little kid with a kazoo and, like...
Well, you are turning your back if you stop that.
Yeah, but it's weird because you don't have that affiliation. Like, I didn't go to A&M. I didn't go to Carolina. I am super, super jealous with you guys to be, like, when a huge game happens... That you guys, like, have the group text. Where are we going? Where are we watching the game? Like, everyone's in on that. Like, I didn't go to that school. So, but I do think that's a reason why you can lose that fandom. Like, in 4 years, if we had this conversation, Casey was like, yeah, I don't really follow A&M anymore. What? You went there. You bled it. Like, that. You're a fraud. Me, it's like, if you got rid of it.
I think I'm a fraud anyways.
Well, I didn't say that. I never would. But
I
do think you can lose that fandom with your teams if you didn't go there and gambling starts to get in the way. So, like, I mean, to be honest, like, I'm still a Duke fan. I have a whole wall of Duke stuff, college basketball in my basement.
Are you a Duke football fan?
No, but I know, it's game day. It should be game day, Duke, Kansas. It really should. But I just think it can get in the way as you get older. Like, losses sting a little bit less, you know? And it sucks because I miss being a kid. And, like, taking the phone off the hook in 99 when Duke lost that national championship game. I miss being, like, excited for the Notre Dame-Ohio State bowl game.
Who beat them in 99?
UConn. Yeah, fat Khalid El-Amin. Shocked the world.
And then what happened in 2004?
The UConn beat him again. No, yeah. Calhoun. Calhoun knows what he's doing.
That was
going to
come.
Well,
I miss those Notre Dame games, like, being amped up when Ohio State and A.J. Hall comes and just ruins your life. Like, I miss that. It's a quicker recovery now, and it's definitely more sane. But it sucks. Like, the only thing I'm, like, really living and dying with now is the Mets and the Giants.
When I was eight,
you know?
When I was eight, yeah, George Mason ripped my heart out.
Yeah.
Or not eight. I was.
That's like a beautiful. It's crazy, but, like, to get that irrational about sports is what makes it beautiful.
No, I know what you're.
And all the random stories, too. Like, you're a Minnesota Vikings fan. Why do you root for the Minnesota Vikings? Oh, well, you know, we had a move, and I lived with my grandfather or my uncle for a summer. And he taught me about football, and I became a Minnesota Vikings fan. That's the stuff that's awesome. So
it's funny to think that, because you mentioned taking the phone off the hook, which I'm a little bit too young for that, but not far removed, because we're not that separate.
Right.
Can you imagine, like, these two never had to deal
with that. Yeah, that went way over my head, unfortunately.
There's this thing called cordless phones, and you have a phone number in your house. And yeah, you take the phone off the hook, and it meant people couldn't call you.
When the Jets,
yes, I know. I've had a landline.
The Jets lost to the Raiders, and I think the playoffs in 2002 or something. Yep. I was six, I was six or five, and I threw a phone, I think, at my grandfather.
Ooh,
Jesus! Oh, 6.
It like didn't. A house phone, like an old.
Yeah. We were all together. My family was talking. I didn't hit him. I was five, but my father had to like drag me out of the room.
So we're 0 for 2 for throwing stuff.
06 was a tough year. March, Duke loses the Sweet 16 to LSU. Carlos Beltran bobblehead on the desk. Took it, fired it at the wall. And then that fall.
Oh, don't bring it up.
That fall, 06, I was playing college football. They were doing bed checks on Thursday night. We did it 48 hours before the game. And my buddy Gary, who had one of the best one-liners of all time, Carlos Beltran staring at a 3-2 curveball in game 7, and Gary, he strikes out, and Gary goes, "Can I help you?" "No, just looking." And I was like, "I fucking hate you, Gary." That was a tough couple months.
But you're right about even being an adult that went to A&M, that grew up in Aggie, you still get desensitized a little bit. Because like, you're bringing up stuff from when you were younger.
Yes.
I mean, I know I've told this story a million times, but I had to stand on multiple school cafeteria tables and sing the Texas fight song, and it was like the saddest thing of my year, because it was like all you care about is like recess,
boy
or girl that you like, and whatever team is your favorite. So it is sad that you get desensitized to it, but also being around you guys that are such big gamblers, it's like, wow, like if your team loses over the weekend, like, my whole week is shot, because that's all I have to hear about, where it's like, all right, I'll just make another bet next Saturday.
It's good. I mean, it's like going to confession. Like, you wash out your sins every day. You start new every day.
That would be nice.
With gambling. You live and die with that day, but then the next day you live and die on something else.
Yeah, which would be nice sometimes, I guess. But then, like, this week, and obviously we'll talk about the week 4 slate and all the news and stuff, but A&M Arkansas is this weekend. Brandon's been giving me a lot of pep talks, whatever happens on Saturday, if I could just wash that feeling and wake up Sunday and not feel so bad, that'd be kind of nice.
Yeah.
Unless you win, then you don't get the excitement, I guess, but.
Yeah, it's tough. It's like the Final Four. Like, I was like, I was so, it's crazy, because of that story, like, when we were down there that weekend, it was like, I was so amped for Kansas, because I was betting a monster on Kansas. But it was like, Duke's playing their rival, Carolina. And, like, I had a moment of, like, I was checked out on Krzyzewski because he was acting like such an asshole over the couple of years. Like, even me as a Duke backer was like, I'm like, he's changing me.
This national title is coming, flooding back all of a sudden.
Oh, boy.
Which national title?
For basketball, when I blocked you.
Oh, yeah.
I
was
just saying.
Yeah. But I had a moment where it was like, I'm going to be at this game. How do you look your 12-year-old self in the mirror and not get amped up for this game? You know, so like, I went all in on Duke, and then, but it sucked because they lost and it washed away in like an hour and a half. It was like, it's crazy. I miss being pissed about it for 3 days. I really do.
It is like a humbling moment whenever when I go back and I watch games with my friends who still fully live and die. Like, obviously my emotions are tied to it because I can't just go to work the next day and forget about it because of what we do. But whenever you realize, like, how much – I mean, I used to cry. Like,
yeah.
Full-blown cry. And I feel like any, like, big-time sports fan as a kid did, it's probably better that we're not just sobbing after we lose every single time.
I mean, even the other kids in school they had no horse in the race, but they knew, oh, that kid's a diehard Duke fan. That kid's a diehard Giant fan. That now, all of a sudden, then they get to make fun of you. You know, so and then, you know, my sister still laughs. There was some kid on our bus that – he was a Minnesota Viking fan, and the Giants beat him 41-0. We tortured this kid on the bus. This poor kid. Just bully, you know, like 41-0. The kid was like in tears, but that's what you do as kids.
That's why sports are
you don't look back at it greatly, but that's what
year
you do. I was like 11, 10.
Right. Peak bullying time.
Peak bullying, yeah.
He had like a cowlick, too. We called the kid cowlick. Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's tough.
He's gotten over it,
I hope so. And then the best was he threw up one morning on the bus. Oh, my God. So the lady in the – somebody's like, he got sick on the bus. And they were like, who got sick? Like thinking we would say like Casey Smith. Like we were like, Cowlick. And you watch the guy driving the bus in the rear view go, who the fuck is Cowlick? It's unbelievable.
Kids are
sick. Oh, yeah.
But – I mean, when it comes to sports.
It's sports. Sports. Don't bully kids anything other than sports.
Some things are bigger than sports.
Exactly.
So you mentioned it earlier, Florida, Tennessee. The college football show will be there. Hopefully Brandon won't have died. We won't be having a funeral for him by then.
I'm genuinely nervous.
That he'll die?
No.
Oh.
That he won't be, that he'll be sick.
No.
He'll be there. Sorry. He'll be there.
Yeah,
but
you think that there's any way that Brandon wouldn't be there? We would wheel him.
Go to the pen.
People are watching on YouTube, saw what Rico just did. So the show will be at 1:30 at the Hill, the normal crew plus Will Compton, the macrodosing guys with PFT,
yep,
and Josh Prey will be there.
Yep.
So a whole crew.
Everyone Barstool.
I mean, you obviously, you mentioned that how big of a deal this game is. This is obviously a huge SEC rivalry, and Jack, I think we talked about this a few weeks ago. It's a rivalry, but, I mean, Florida is just owning Tennessee for the last, like, 20 years.
Well, yeah. Not for the past few, like, I think it's since 2015, I think it's probably pretty even.
I think it's 16-1, 15-1.
No, since 2015. I think they've only pulled off two.
Yeah.
Tennessee. I had the numbers pulled up. What was interesting.
I think that Florida's won, like, 16 of the last 17.
Yeah.
That's what I saw.
There's,
like, I don't think they. It's very lopsided.
That is true.
So this game will be interesting, and when we break down all the games, like, but I think that this year, you know, feels like '98, Jack, in Knoxville. Tennessee fans are high on this, right?
Well, this is the biggest game for Tennessee. I was talking to Big T today. He said he thinks this will be the loudest that the stadium has been since the Oklahoma game back in 2015 when Baker broke their hearts, and then before, all the way back to like the 2000s when it was in the 90s with Peyton, and then when they won in 98 with blanket on his name. But
Peerless Price. Tennessee won in 2004 and then won again in 2016, and that was it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So this is a big one, because if Tennessee wins this, then they have LSU next weekend, and then after that, you have Bama. You have to go to – if Tennessee drops this one, though, you could see a scenario where they go after Bama. They're 3-3, and
yes,
they had
really. –
But I think this is a massive, massive game for Tennessee. I think they're definitely the better team. But Florida's still talented, even though they've looked a little off. But if they have a really key linebacker is injured right now. I forget his first name, but his last name is Wilson. And the numbers are staggering when he plays and doesn't. The Florida over the past 3 years is just a completely different defense. Tennessee's defense is the biggest thing to keep an eye on, because their offense is going to show up. Can Tennessee's defense continue to take that next step, or were they just good against Pitt because Pitt had their third-string quarterback in?
Yeah.
Or second string.
We might as well just go ahead and break this game down now, because I think, you know, you look at the slate from last week, things kind of evened out a little bit. Like, other than Michigan State losing to Washington, there wasn't any massive surprises. At least, like, I don't think any top 25 team lost to an unranked team except for Michigan State. So week three, especially if you were just looking at the favorites, it was even. This weekend, there's a lot of conference games. I think there's four games to not only just conference, four games of undefeated matchups. Florida-Tennessee, I don't know, maybe this is an SEC bias. I'm not really sure, because obviously Clemson-Wake is a huge one. This game, to me, feels like the biggest game of the weekend.
SMU-Texas is a really big game.
100%.
As an ACC person, Wake and Clemson really underwhelms me.
Why?
Just because you think the competition's not going to be as good?
No, just not exciting. Like, I feel like you've kind of seen what you've seen from Clemson. Like, I don't know who's going to win, but I don't think anything's going to surprise us. It's not...
I think there's a lot of scenarios that could surprise us in that game.
I think if Wake beats Clemson, I would be surprised.
Yeah,
like, I had a moment where I woke up and I was like, I love Wake here. And then you look at what they've done, and I'm like, no way. I'm just on the
I would not, like, be over... I don't think
Wake doesn't beat Clemson.
Their defense is not good enough.
Yeah, it's not.
But everything that we were just talking about with this one, because Florida has just absolutely dominated this rivalry, which... Rico, we talked about Bedlam, too. Did you see the Mike Gundy quote this week, what he came out and said about Bedlam not happening anymore?
Briefly.
I'm gonna read it to you. So we talked about, and I'm interested to get your thoughts on this. So when you, especially somebody who's just gambling, like, rivalry games, to me, it does not matter what who the favorite of the all-time record is or who holds it. Like, yes, obviously we know Oklahoma kills Oklahoma State. If we're talking about Tennessee, Florida in the last 20 years, to me, as somebody who doesn't care about either one of those teams, rivalry games are still fucking awesome. So Mike Gundy, Brett McMurphy tweeted this yesterday. Mike Gundy comes out and says, Bedlam is history because OU chose to follow Texas and the money to the SEC. What's going on now is like a husband and wife when you know you're dead wrong and you try to make them think that you're wrong. So he's basically describing gaslighting. Oklahoma State has no part in this. It's comical. They want to bring us into it.
He's 100% right.
No, he's not. Yeah, he is.
I have a take. I mean, so you touched on a lot of things in that. As somebody who has no affiliation to college, like a college, my question, I asked it on Pick'em. I think I asked it on Pick Central. What game do you want to watch every year in college football that you have no affiliation with? I'm sure a ton of people will say Army-Navy or Alabama-LSU.
Ohio State, Michigan.
Fair. To me, Bedlam is right there.
So I said,
it is right there.
Big Cat said it's like his favorite over.
I think as a gambler.
You also got to remember you're talking to a guy who probably had Oklahoma State 40 to 1, 80 to 1, and 100 to 1 in the last decade. They've always been exciting too, though. They've had big time wide receivers. Who was it? Blackman? Who was the kid before him? James Washington?
Well, Washington was after Blackman, but yeah.
Yeah. So I messed up the order. They had Dez. They have the same guys coming in. The quarterbacks that you think are going to be great in the NFL, like I was convinced Mason Rudolph would be okay. Spencer Sanders will probably get a roster. Brandon Whedon got picked. Like, I don't know. And Oklahoma State's been in a position where they go into Thanksgiving and could have been in a BCS game. I know that happened at least once. Was it twice that I'm remembering wrong? But Oklahoma State was in a win and get in spot and laid an egg.
It's interesting to hear because, I mean, obviously growing up in Texas, Bedlam was always like in the forefront of just those teams around there. I agree with you. I think Bedlam is awesome.
It's awesome.
I like the Red River Shootout a little bit more, but I agree with you. The reason I don't agree with this, I mean, what he's saying is technically true, but that's not the reason that Bedlam is history. The reason that Bedlam is history is Oklahoma State doesn't want to.
No. The reason it's history is because Oklahoma left for the SEC. Yes. That's the bottom line.
But they could still play.
Yeah, okay, could, but that's the only reason that it's not being played, well, the only reason it's now difficult to play is because Oklahoma left.
Yeah.
So you only get how many conference games are you going to play in the SEC? Nine?
Nine.
Okay, nine. That leaves us with three. Oklahoma is always going to take one cupcake, probably going to take one other, like, marquee or middle-of-the-road cupcake game or whatever. And then that leaves the one. They have to be locked into Oklahoma State every year. I think they should be. But I could see how it gets logistically difficult.
Clemson, South Carolina. They do
also,
that.
I mean, you're playing in the SEC, so now pitch that to Oklahoma that where up. they go Bama, Tennessee, Florida, Oklahoma State, LSU, and Ole Miss in a row. I don't want any part of that. Like, you know what
but
I mean?
OU,
like,
but that's the thing is OU is saying that they still want to play it. It's Oklahoma State saying they don't. That's where I think that when he says it's comical, they want to bring us into it, it's like, well, yeah, Oklahoma is trying to keep the rivalry alive. If OU was saying it, I still think it would be lame. Again, I'm coming from a thing that I just think that games like this should be played. I know 100%. Logistically it doesn't make sense. When I read this quote, I know
if you think games like this should be played,
I do.
Then you should. Then, but what do you think's better, conference realignment or games like this being played?
You have to understand that, like, I think conference realignment can also include those games being played. A&M and Texas, if they weren't, and I know everyone's like, oh, you're bringing it back to A&M. This is the blueprint. What's happening with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State is the blueprint from 10-plus years ago with what happened in the state of Texas.
Because of conference realignment.
Right, but they could have played multiple times, and one side didn't want to every single time that could have
But they would have stayed together if – they would have stayed playing if Texas A&M stayed in Big 12.
Right, but I don't think that the team that gets left behind for money – which, by the way, every team would leave for money. If Oklahoma State got offered
– Yeah, 100%.
He would fucking go too. So that – another part of that is kind of a loser – part of the quote, it's like, well, yeah, obviously, so would you, Gundy.
I think the flip side of that, though, is that they don't owe it to anybody else to go get the money. Go get the money, right?
Right.
But they owe it to the fans to make that call. Like, the first people who should have found out about that is obviously the people in Oklahoma when they were making that move. The second people who should have found out about that was Oklahoma State. Because Oklahoma picks up the phone and says, listen, you're probably going to be mad at us. We're leaving the Big 12. We want to play the game every year. Like, you win. And get it on the record right away. Give them a heads up. Okay, then. I mean, there's elements to the story I don't know. But
well, and
And that's naive because there's a lot of things that go into it and moving the game or whatever. But I do think when Oklahoma realized that they were leaving, they should call Oklahoma State and be like, we want to play this game. And Texas should have done the same with Oklahoma. That game, like, it has to happen.
Well, Texas and – you mean Texas and Texas A&M?
Well
– you said Texas and Oklahoma. Texas yeah. and Oklahoma oh, are going
Oh, they're
together.
Both going. They're both yes. going. Right. Texas and Texas A&M. You're right. Yeah.
So –
I forgot. I was factoring in the Red River disappearing, and I forgot it'll be a conference game.
It will still be.
Now.
Yeah, that would still be. Yeah.
Which actually – it kind of takes a shine away that it's a conference game, if that makes sense. Like I think it loses a little bit of it that it's
but
a
But it's always
like,
been a conference game.
Yeah, you're right.
He's thinking of it from a gambling standpoint, which I love. He's like, nothing else matters. But
you're right.
The
it has been.
But the point, listen, and then we can move away from Bedlam.
There's a lot of moving parts in there.
There is. I know what you're saying.
Jack's got the challenge flag ready to go. I like that. There was a lot of elements of that.
No, I see what you're
saying. I even forgot. That's a big brain fart, but you're right. It's. That's a brain fart. Forgot who's
people keep bringing up like, oh, South Carolina and Clemson do it, Florida and Florida State do it. Yeah, but they were never ever in the same conference. There's never been a divorce. I don't blame Oklahoma State. Why are they supposed to be like it's okay that you're leaving. You're leaving us behind. You're going to affect our checkbook. You're going to affect our bank account. But you could still play us. Like, let's have some fun.
I agree with you. But if you look at, which I do think, again, the blueprint, what happened. A&M did the same thing. Texas said, why would we do this? Like, we don't need you. You're going to the SEC. You're going to make more money. And then a few years go by, and Texas, the one that was left behind, was then wanting to play. And they're like, well, actually, wait a minute. For the sake of this rivalry, for the sake of the state, for the sake of all the history, we do want to play. And that's when A&M was like, well, no. I would agree if that had never happened. That's what I think is going to happen here. I think that Mike Gundy is shooting off the hip. I've seen a lot of Oklahoma State fans saying they still want this to be played there. I've also seen a lot that don't. So we'll see what happens. My whole point bringing up the rivalry stuff is that these games, obviously Bedlam, Ohio State, Michigan, the Iron Bowl, the games like that are the marquee ones. This Tennessee-Florida game
is up there too.
Is up there from a hate standpoint, even though the records on the field right now, in recent history, don't say that. I don't care about that. I don't care who's won every single year from like a fan standpoint. I just know that these two teams fucking hate each other, the fans hate each other, and going into this weekend, it doesn't matter that Tennessee's lost 16 straight or 16 out of the last 17. It matters that they're playing again this Saturday.
Fun fact, I bet Florida pretty heavily the time that they did lose outright to Tennessee. I remember where I was when I watched that game. Yep, in the Cape. I was on the Cape for the weekend. It was brutal.
Like,
go figure. That's how it goes. But no, I mean, listen, Tennessee is it's better. Football is better when Tennessee is better for whatever reason. Like the stadium, the colors. Like, I know they haven't been great. I just think it's a big. Like, I like when the big programs get gassed up.
Rocky Top.
It's song is unbelievable too.
It's stuck in my head in a very good way.
Yeah, it's when Tennessee is better. It's and this rivalry is right up there too for a guy who has no take on this. And you talk about they hate each other. Like the Spurrier quotes are awesome.
Well, Spurrier is.
Spurrier hated Florida State a lot more.
He
I don't know, man. He threw some shade at Tennessee with those quotes.
He
you
did.
You can't spell citrus without UT.
I know, yeah.
I want Peyton Manning to come back so
for
he,
his third year
for his third,
so he can go,
third,
to the,
go to the Citrus Bowl again.
To win an MVP. Yeah.
And then there was one more that was awesome.
Well, the Free Shoes University is
no,
iconic.
There was one more about Tennessee. Oh, yeah. Well, no, those were the best, too. But, yeah, there are people in Knoxville and Fayetteville doing cartwheels going 7-6. Like, he was wild.
Well, he's just one of the best. Jack, is somebody who, like, you know, obviously covers and loves college football as much as you do, where would you put this? Where would you put Tennessee, Florida in, like, the – I mean, again, it's not like the marquee rivalry that happens at the end of the season, but would you put it high up for, like, fans that hate each other?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's, like, from a rivalry perspective, I'm putting this – well, it's like, where do you put higher, Georgia, Florida, or Florida, Tennessee?
See,
and then it's like, then you put Tennessee, Alabama in a little bit higher, too. It's like, where do you put that? Because Tennessee, Alabama is always 3rd October, or 3rd Saturday in October. And older Alabama fans take that game very personally. They love lighting up their cigars during that game. So
it just probably depends on what side you're on. I feel like, what is Big T say about this? I haven't asked him. Like, does he hate Florida as much as he hates Alabama?
Well, it's difficult because Big T knows, and Tennessee fans his age, they know is losing to Alabama. Florida, it's also same with Florida,
and,
though.
Yeah, losing to Florida.
But Bama wins natties.
Right.
Florida, I guess, has won natties like they have, but 2007, 2011, right? Or 10? He's like 26, 27.
Yeah. Mid-early, mid-late.
This game, to me, you know, when you look at the SEC East, we've talked about it on this show a million times. I think we could all say Georgia is not only the favorite in the SEC East, is the favorite to win the national title right now. Kentucky is there, and Will Levis is still, you know, in the conversation of, you know, how good really is he. This game, though, is so big for Tennessee because it really will solidify exactly where in the SEC East is they are, which I think they're second. I think that they are the second-best team. I love Hendon Hooker. Anthony Richardson.
Do we think he'll finally throw a touchdown pass?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, he can't. He hasn't thrown a touchdown pass yet. It's crazy.
When you look at it, like Hendon Hooker getting, you know, the veteran guy getting all this love, it is crazy to think that. But to me, it's Hendon Hooker versus Anthony Richardson. I'm taking Hendon Hooker every single time.
Yeah.
I mean,
the play I'm making is the over. I was surprised that this number is that high. To respect to Tennessee's offense. My play would be the over on this game, but this is a must. Like, I'm very excited to watch this game. I just think the environment's going to be awesome. It's
a must win for Tennessee.
Yeah, it is. So, like, playing college football, my coach, we would describe it. We never made a run at a conference. We never got close to the conference championship game, but the mindset of it was our coaches would say, just get yourself through, get yourself to the title round. So we won the one year we really got hot. We won the games we needed to, and we knew, like, we just got to the point where if we did beat that team at the top of the conference, we were going. So, and we advanced through. We had a lot of tests on the way. That's where Tennessee is for this one. They just want to get to Georgia, and they could still lose to Bama with that one loss.
Tennessee's schedule is so tough, man. Like,
I know.
In the pit, they still have to play Kentucky too.
100%. But this is one of those where it's like, get us through the qualifying round. Like every week is bigger and bigger for Tennessee. They got to get through this one. This is the first test. Then you get through LSU, and then you get to go to Bama.
No, they get Bama at home.
I'm sorry, you get Bama, and you know, and then you get another one with Kentucky. But if they can run the table and get to Georgia, that game will be awesome.
That's winner.
You know,
I don't know. Yeah.
I'm just saying,
that game
from a Tennessee mindset, you have everything to be optimistic about.
That game
right now
will be big regardless, even if they lose to Bama.
100%.
That stretch, I mean, granted, you're looking at UT Martin on October 22nd, but their upcoming stretch is wild, especially if they do lose to Florida. I mean, I think that this will definitely set the tone. I mean, going to Alabama or having Alabama come to Knoxville, regardless, is going to be tough. It doesn't matter if you're undefeated going to that game or you lose the next three or the next two before it, but. To me, and Jack, you know, when we talk about SEC quarterbacks and we talk about Anthony Richardson and him having the four interceptions of the last two games and having that fall from grace from week one, which we did overreact, but that's what we have to do. Do you think that because this is like the shadows of Florida, the ghost of Florida that usually can beat Tennessee, do you think that will matter this weekend?
No, I think if anything, this is a situation where Florida still has a lot of talent on their team, but it doesn't seem as if they're really putting it together as well as we thought they did against Utah. And looking back on that, Utah really should have won that game by 2 touchdowns. That being said, they have enough talent. If Tennessee's off on Saturday afternoon, Florida can win this game, like, without a doubt. And the players are going to get up. They know this is a big game. But the thing is, I think the Tennessee team, like, if Tennessee goes down 7 or 14-0 early, I don't think the Tennessee team will be that rattled. I think this is such a – this isn't – this feels like a different Tennessee team where it's like, no, we can come back. It's not that big of a deal. Where in the past, sometimes it felt like, oh, my God,
not
like,
again.
Here's the old Tennessee.
Yep.
Now, I think this is a Tennessee team that, like, they have to win this game. I 100% agree with Katie. And if they do, then we really start to have conversations. They have the bye week next week, but then at LSU is going to be massive. That game will probably be at night if it's not on 3:30 CBS. And then you have Bama after that. Then you really, if you get to Bama 5-0 and you play them tough, then you really get to a discussion of, man.
They played them tough last year. I know it was close to halftime and Bama pulled out, but.
Yeah, no, it was close even into the third quarter.
Yeah. Rico, you were at that stream, weren't you? When it was like the Big T, Dave stream. Or no, what stream was it? It was Alabama, Tennessee, and like Big T was going nuts and then it got really, really quiet.
Yes.
Was that Alabama, Tennessee?
I think, well, there was one, I think, when. Which is the game that an Alabama receiver went down? I think Jalen Waddle went down, like, two plays in.
Yeah.
That was 2019.
Okay. That was 2019. Because I remember certain someone was applauding that. That was not a stream.
I just remember Big T having that Tennessee fan mindset, like the whole game, like, well, this is it. And then it just absolutely fell off the rails. But as far as this game goes, I mean, I agree with what everybody has said. I think Tennessee's just the better football team. It's going to be crazy, though. And what? Josh Heupel, you know, he says a lot of the right things. Like, he really does. But he's come out and be like, listen, it is very psychological, but we don't see it that way. So, but I love a good heated rivalry in September.
For just looking at picks, people, Tennessee to cover or Florida to cover?
Just the over.
I'm already on the over, too.
Well, that's the interesting take, I guess, I have, is hypothetical. I think Tennessee can win in a blowout. I see a possibility where that happens. I weirdly don't see that with Florida. Like, I think Florida pulls one out of their ass, gets some college football plays, and Tennessee leaves heartbroken in a stunner. But I don't see Florida winning in a blowout. And I know that's not really a hot take, being a 10-point dog. But do you – like, you – if Tennessee's
I think the
off,
line's perfect. But I don't
could
think
you see
really
Florida winning at all in a blowout? I don't.
No, I mean, they're 10.5-point underdogs. I see what you're saying, though. But I don't think they have the explosion to win it in a blowout because Anthony Richardson, like, it's not – he's not throwing the ball around the park. If it was flipped in Tennessee's a team that can boom, 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 boom. Anthony Richardson, it's more like – I don't – like, he could have a 70-yard run, but I don't think he's going to be doing that left and right.
No, definitely not.
It would be different because, yes, the Utah game, they looked great, and they had two games that were bad. I feel like you don't – it's a one-way, because I know we talk about pendulums a lot. You can't go back. It's like once you kind of stuck. I think the past two games are what we're going to see with Florida. The first one was like not a fluke, but maybe it was Utah, just kind of first season. But I think we settled in what we see in the past two games. That's, I think, what we're going to get the rest of the year.
Utah's going to regret that loss when it comes down to it. And they're sitting at 5 in the college football playoff, and they're like, damn, should have won that game against Florida.
Yep. So we mentioned this game too. Let's go. And if, by the way, if Brandon was here, you know what he would be doing right now. I can like hear it in my head. If we talk about Tennessee for one more minute, I'm going to lose my fucking mind. So that's my Brandon Walker impression.
But I mean, like, you guys are going.
Yes, we are.
It's going to be a massive game.
Oh, it's huge.
It's not the only rivalry game this weekend. You have a big one.
Yeah, and we'll get to that. But I'm going to, like, just looking at the slate, and we mentioned it off the top, Clemson Wake Forest, huge game.
Let's go to... Let's do the marquee games.
You want to do that? I mean, you don't. I mean, Clemson Wake Forest
is... Actually, let's do Clemson Wake Forest.
Yeah. I would put Clemson Wake in this one.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, Clemson Wake, I mean, two more, two undefeated teams here. Obviously, Clemson, I think, is what, 5 right now? Wake Forest is 21. So, Sam Hartman... We thought that was going to be like
forever.
A huge thing. He seems to be fine.
Basically, yeah.
And Jack, you said it. This Clemson defense might be one of the best defenses they've had in a long time.
This is a big test, though, because I mean, Wake's a great offense, no matter what, no matter how you cut it. I think their defense leaves a lot to be desired, and I think DJ Will Shipley and I forget Collins' first name. I think it's Bryce or something. We'll be there to like
Bo
BEAUX. You really should have went to LSU with that name.
LSU.
But I think Clemson's offense is good enough to put up 40 points here. It would be if they only win 28-24. Mm-hmm. It depends how it goes, but I'd be disappointed in the offensive output. It's a big test for Clemson's offensive output, because it's like Liberty last week put up 36 on them. Vanderbilt put up 25. How much can you put up?
Right.
If you want to stick around and really be in this race, which I think they're kind of like the outside looking in right now from the perspective of elite teams. Mm-hmm. But they put up big numbers this week, and I'm like, all right, here we go. This is it for Clemson.
Rico, how do you feel? And I giggle at this because I know, again, if Brandon was sitting here, where we would be going with this Clemson story, but he hates Dabo.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Dabo?
I know he's a little weird. I've seen, like, he does a lot of weird things. I don't really have much of a hatred for him one way or the other.
You don't think that him running really fast ahead of the team.
That's – Big Cat tweeted that last week. That's a tough look. I think he
– Especially like on the cancer
day. I feel like he's the – yeah. I feel like he's the guy – and Francis just did it walking past, and I don't think he knew it was a double-way mirror maybe. But on Pick Central, he walked past us and, like, checked himself out. I think Dabo's a big check-himself-out guy.
Fantastic.
He's a huge check-himself-out guy.
Damn, he is. This – and Jack just stepped out for a second, but – On Unnecessary Roughness, we talk about Clemson a lot from a standpoint of, like, Brandon thinks that DJ might not be the quarterback through the end of October. I think that his leash is much shorter because he has a guy behind him.
Yeah, who's the guy behind? See, I don't know enough Cade of the guy. Clemson. When the guys come in, I only know him till I – you can read about him if you know the guy's going to get the starting job. Once I find out he doesn't have the starting job, I don't worry myself.
He's basically like the next lineage five-star Clemson quarterback.
Yeah, all right.
And it's K-U-B-N-I-K, right? That's how you spell it?
Klubnik.
Klubnik. Yeah, all right, yeah. I mean, but it's weird, though, because with Clemson goes 8-0 with Ungulele, and he does enough of what he's supposed to do.
Enough.
How do you make that switch? I got it. It's just that's the predicament. I mean, shit, we saw a team win a national championship with the second-best quarterback on the roster last year. Like, it's a wild...
Who now might be a Heisman finalist.
Yeah. So maybe he did turn around. Yeah, it's a weird... You never know. Guys go into slumps, guys go into whatever.
Also, it's like, whether you don't like Dab or you do, he's been around the block long enough, like, there's a method to the madness. There must be a reason DJ's still in.
Yeah.
They like DJ?
No, I think...
I think they like Dabo.
I think they like Dabo.
Winning cures all, too, I mean.
But I'm saying, like...
Oh, you mean why DJ's still playing?
Yes. So I'm saying there has to be a reason. There has to be something sitting in practice. I don't think... Maybe it's just seniority, but I don't think that if you've been that competitive for that long, you just put the older guy in.
Well, that's why this game, Jack brought this up, is so big for... I mean, I think Clemson's going to win this game easily. I think I understand Wake's undefeated. I understand Sam Hartman.
I think Wake's alive, but...
The reason I think Clemson wins easily is all the things that we've talked about with the defense, but Jack is 1,000% right when it comes to the test being for the offense, because what we've talked about is that even if Clemson wins, but DJ and this offense don't play as well as they could, there's a little bit of chatter. The thing is, and Jack, we were talking about while you were gone, first of all, we were making fun of Dabo a little bit, but when you were out, that, you know, DJ, even if he wins games, you think that he'll be the starter for the rest of the season, right? No matter what.
Well, I mean, there's scenarios where it's not. Katie laid it out last episode, which I thought was, like, she was right. And when it's like, if they win this 20, like, if they have one of those NC State games last year, like they had last year, where they lost 17-14, but they could have won 17-14, or maybe it was 20-17, whatever it was, you could see where it's like, no, we're changing the Cade. That being said, I think DJ still has the skills. He's been fine this year. This is also a test for the Clemson's defense. If Clemson holds Wake Forest to 21 points or something, then it's like, wait a second, this is a really good team. But this is a really great game to see where Clemson's at, because we look at them, and I said it before I went to the bathroom, that they're kind of like, if you look at elite teams right now, they're in line. Maybe they're second or third in line, but they could skip the line after this weekend.
Oh, if the offense plays like extremely well, yeah. The defense does what we think it's going to do, absolutely.
That's a great point. I think it's a midterm.
Yeah, it's like a midterm. Yeah,
so I think that this test is nowhere near what the next one is, which is NC State. Because I think NC State has just as good as an offense, maybe a tick down of Wake Forest. I think when Hartman's clicking, they can put up some points.
With AT Perry.
I also think Wake Forest gets a little bit, like, their offense might look better because they get so many more possessions because they can't stop anybody.
Yeah.
So that's a fact. Now, with that said, whether you think NC State or Wake Forest has, you know, a 90, like, who has the higher offense, I think it's splitting hairs. What I will say is NC State for sure has a great defense.
Yes.
So when that game, and that's a game you lost last year, so if their offense looks like shit against Wake, who has a shitty defense, and they allow Wake to go up and down the field,
then
kind of do what they want, yeah, and you don't do so well on the midterm, the final is going to be really hard next week against NC State. I've always kind of thought NC State is going to win against – I thought NC State could win against Clemson again. I worry about Lightning striking in a bottle, and that game would be at Clemson. Last year they beat them at NC State.
Mm-hmm.
So this year's game would be at Clemson, so yes, I worry about that as well. But, yeah, I'm a guy who, like – you know, listen, Clemson's great, and Clemson, you can bet Clemson when they're gonna blow people out, and they've been good to me and here and that. But I want the playoff to kind of blow up every year possible. Like last year, I was rooting for Cincy, Oklahoma State, Notre Dame and Michigan. Like, just give me four new ones. This year I'm hoping Clemson's out. I'm hoping Bama's out. I'm hoping Georgia's out. I know that's impossible, but, like, give me new blood.
Had a take the other day. He thinks Alabama's going to lose twice. They're going to lose regular season ACC and the SEC and not make it.
Yeah, well, they're so biased that they'll probably give Bama the benefit of the doubt over Utah.
Georgia's been so good that we almost are devaluing Bama. I mean, I know a lot of it's based off that Texas game, but Alabama is still really good. Like, it's, we thought they were ahead of Georgia, and Georgia took such a step or stayed at that same level. But Alabama still, but two losses would be significant. That Alabama Georgia game at an SEC championship game is going to feel like a championship game, which I know you don't like as much because you're more a college basketball guy. You want to see, which is cool, and I get what you're saying. And it's from the perspective of, like, hey, I want it. It's the same teams all the time. But last year, Georgia won a national championship for the first time in 38 maybe. They won in 1985, 26 years, I think.
I don't have a problem with the same
36.
I don't have a problem with the same teams because if you look, I don't have a problem with the same teams. The problem I have with is the common sense factor. It's happened, I think, once, Alabama didn't win their own division of the SEC and got to play for a national championship. That I have a problem with. How can you say, and I know, just because they lost the one game and you asked me, who would I take, you know, laying points, Alabama or Cincinnati or Alabama or Boise State, when all those things came up in those hypotheticals. But it's like, okay, that's fine, but then why don't we just let Vegas decide the games? The games were decided on the field. Yeah, I know there's at least once. Katie, double-check me. But there was a year where Bama, I'm pretty positive, didn't play for their own division. They didn't play in the SEC championship and made the
It was 2016, I think.
And made the championship
game. It was the year.
At that point, no matter what, the players on the field, no matter what, they were the third best team in the SEC. You cannot convince me otherwise.
Well, we've seen it.
Then why do we have standings? Like, why did we?
Jack, wasn't that the same year? That 2016 is the same year that the Big Ten had a team go to the playoff that didn't play in the conference title, right?
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Cheese's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3chi.com. That's 3chi.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code Barstool20.
Yeah, the years all get wonky,
it's 2017. Auburn beat them.
Yes.
They beat Jalen Hurts, and then Tua came in against Georgia in the national championship.
So no matter what you want to say, Alabama was the third best team in the SEC. How could they possibly want to be one of the four best teams in the country? What's the point now? With this expanded playoff, you win the conference, go in. That's where I'm at.
That was the year that they didn't put Penn State in.
Yes.
But Penn State had two losses. Yeah, I remember it now.
That's
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So there was a lot of – and that was also the first year of the playoff too, wasn't it?
No,
yeah,
that was like the third.
Third, yeah.
2014.
2014, so that was the third year.
No, 2015 was the first year.
But 2014 season, right?
So
that would have been the
2014 season. Then, yeah.
So, yeah, but that sets the tone. You know, I have a problem with that.
To figure that out. So when it comes to Clemson, though, back to this game, then we'll move on, that Clemson is like – and I know I'm saying it wrong. Clemson – wait, right?
Yeah. Clemson? Don't worry about it. They can kick rocks.
Yeah, we say it was the Z's around here. They are always in that conversation. This is absolutely correct, Rico. They're midterm. So
yep.
We'll see what happens with that game. I personally – I mean, you said that you think that Wake's a live dog.
Yeah, which makes me look like a suck. Like, I'm not betting it. I'm betting the over.
I bet Clemson.
Clemson beats the shit out of Wake.
I beat Clemson
already.
I'm
rooting for Wake, but Clemson beats the shit out of Wake.
I beat Clemson already. I bet them at -7. They went up to -8, but now they're back down to the -7. There's been some buyback, which makes sense. But I thought it was going to get up to the -10, -11 range. It hasn't.
Maybe that tells you something.
No, there's some, like, serious money coming in whenever it gets over 7.5 or so.
Okay.
Like, every time it gets to 7.5 or 8, it goes right back down to 7. So there's some serious buyback. Makes sense. I'm higher on Clemson than most, I think. So that's why I'm on them. But I could be dead wrong. We'll see.
But you're not high on them for, like, stupid reasons. You're high on them for the very obvious reasons of this defense is one of the best. best they've had in a very long time.
And I think they're like, I'm higher on DJ than most.
Yeah, but, I mean, so far, I mean, he's had...
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So, big game in the ACC. I know, Jack, you want to talk about the marquee games. You know that I'm playing scared right now is what I'm doing.
I know.
I think there's
I feel like we should just go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off.
If we're ranking them, I do think the game out west is bigger than yours.
Oh.
But we'll go. Yeah, I'm a guest, so I don't, you know.
No, go Texas A&M Arkansas. No. Let's go Texas A&M Arkansas.
No, you're just gonna rip the Band-Aid.
Absolutely. So this is another podcast that doesn't respect the Pac-12. All right.
No.
At least I know where I am.
Rico.
At least I know where I am.
Rico, let me tell you something.
I love how everyone's so defensive that I'm like actually serious. Like,
no, I'm not defensive.
No, I want you to know because we have disrespected the Pac-12 a lot in the past. This is a USC podcast.
Not me. I'm probably lowest on them in the podcast.
USC, yeah.
Yeah, we're a... I mean, Brandon... I've been saying I think they're going to be in the playoff since the whole switch with Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams. Brandon came around on that. But we also talked about on this week's... past week's episode how good the Pac-12 is in comparison as a whole because they've been so down. But this is... I put myself in timeout last week. I wasn't going to talk shit about Arkansas because A&M did lose to App State. This game, obviously, huge for the SEC West. Also, when you talk about just, like, random rivalry games, I don't necessarily look at Arkansas and say they're A&M's rival, per se, but this game goes back, I mean, 100 years, right? And other than last year, since A&M made the move to the SEC to play Arkansas in conference again, it's been absolutely dominated by A&M. That stuff doesn't matter to me this year because we see what Arkansas is able to do. We see how bad A&M's offense has been. But the weirdest shit happens at Cowboy Stadium. The weirdest things. When A&M has been leaps and bounds better than Arkansas, those games still go into overtime. Obviously, like I mentioned, Arkansas wins last year. So this game absolutely terrifies me. I am scared shitless. And not because I'm like sitting here thinking, oh, well, you know, A&M has a chance to lose. Because that's always a fact, no matter what, with this game. It's because I have decided that if I, in this moment, if I had to lose to any team on the planet, I would rather lose to any other team than Arkansas. That's how much this Arkansas...
Yeah, I don't know enough about their fans. Their fans are insufferable, huh? I know Brandon hates
them. I like them, but did you see, we put out the clip of...
I like them because they give us engagement.
Well, no, I like Arkansas fans. They're awesome.
Well, because they give us engagement.
No, they give us engagement. They're awesome. They're online.
They're very passionate. So
they just got online.
No, yeah. Chill. No.
They still got those 400-hour CDs I love that we didn't use for AOL. We sent them down there.
What?
I shouldn't say that. Eric Musselman's a friend. I like Arkansas. I've been to their house. But, I mean, that joke writes itself. I do think Arkansas is going to win the game. Your offensive scheme sucks.
It does suck.
You could roll out Joe Montana, and I worry about it.
I love their mascots. I think this game's going to have a lot of points, a lot more than people are saying.
Points, tons of points. Here's where I understand where you're coming from with Arkansas fans, because anybody...
They have a mascot family.
They do have a mascot family, and Fayetteville's also low-key incredibly cool. Like, it is a very cool place. I know people like to make fun of, like, just the state of Arkansas. The reason you like them, though, Jack, which is a fair point, is because you aren't the target of their hate online, or the target of their heat, which is fine. We put out the clip of Brandon. I just assume that didn't go well either for them.
No, well, they took the bait, but Brandon said they're going to lose their next four games.
Yeah, Brandon said because it's A&M, Alabama, Mississippi State, BYU. I got a.
That's possible. That's definitely possible.
But this game, as a whole, weird things are happening. Rico, what you just said, not just about Arkansas winning, but A&M's offense has been putrid. The biggest difference between Haynes King starting and Max Johnson was that Max Johnson just didn't throw the ball away. You know, Haynes King had multiple interceptions, multiple turnovers that weren't great.
You guys should have lost to Miami. I'm sorry.
Arkansas's pass defense is also...
No. Really pull up that box score. No. That's not true. Texas A&M dominated.
They fumbled the punt. Set them up. Miami missed a couple of field goals, even with that said.
Yeah, but this...
I don't think they...
Scrolling.
Less 115 left, 130 less yards. and they missed field goals.
I think their post game win expectancy was high. That being said, they did have 100. You're right.
Like,
you're
watching
right.
that game, Miami could have won that game.
You're right. That's not a crazy right. take.
Absolutely. It was a one score game. I thought Miami could have won that game.
So the bigger question with this game, and obviously I'm biased, so I'm going to pass the baton to you guys to talk about it from an unbiased standpoint. Then I'll give my take on it. Is this is one of those games where you're going to have to see A&M's offense really evolve from the way that they played the last 3 weeks. I understand they beat Miami. And then also you're going to have to see Arkansas's secondary step up if that happens. The thing for me with just X's and O's on the field, everything, all the other bullshit aside, is Arkansas's offense is just, I mean, KJ Jefferson, we saw it happen last year. You know, he got hurt, but like when he's firing at all cylinders, they're hard to stop. That to me is not as big as A&M's offense, but the way that Arkansas has been playing, even though they struggled last week, they struggled against Cincinnati a little bit, and I know Brandon has said they're just not as good as we thought they were. That might be true, but where their weaknesses are, so are A&M's weaknesses.
Right.
I think it is, but this is the perfect antidote for Texas A&M because the secondary of Texas or Arkansas is not great. Like, I mean, Ben Bryan, even though he threw some interceptions, was throwing the ball around on them. I think Max Johnson, also, they don't get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. I know they've gotten some sacks, but, like, it was against the likes of, you know, Missouri State and South Carolina, who doesn't have a great offensive line. All that being said, I think they won't get the pressure. They won't get and Max Johnson will have a lot of time, and he'll be able to dice up this defense enough to inspire enough of a, wait a second, we may have a good quarterback here. And then also, I think you're just going to give the ball, you're going to hand the ball off, and like you're just going to run over Arkansas. They seem weak on defense. They just get run over. Like, I think if Mizzou State can score 34 on them, you guys can score 35 on them easy. I wouldn't even be surprised if you blow them out. But
if you don't score, though, it shows us just...
Oh, if you don't score, you have some serious, serious issues. And... We already know that. But, like, I think these issues may get solved this weekend for a little bit.
I hope you're right, Jack.
That could be false gold, though.
It could be false. Yeah, it could be fool's gold, it's like, oh, wait, Max Johnson's great. And then
just
he goes
Arkansas's
up against
defense Arkansas's that defense. I mean, Arkansas gave up, what, 30 to South Carolina? I think South Carolina's offense is horrific.
And Spencer Rattler had some awful turnovers in Arkansas territory, so it could have been a lot more.
Here's a unrelated but kind of related. I think Charlotte is worth a shot on the money line this week against South Carolina.
No.
Super small.
That Reynolds
South Carolina
is
not in a great spot. That's all I'm going to say.
Reynolds is back.
I love Reynolds.
I know. I think the over is great there because he'll be able to throw it all over.
Definitely. It's, I don't want to turn a winner 65. Into a loser. I'm telling you, if South Carolina can't do anything on offense, Charlotte will do things on offense. Just a small that game could be right down to the wire.
Yeah, that is.
South Carolina's in disarray.
Yeah, but South Carolina has the dudes on offense that they'll be able to put up 50 on.
Yeah, you're probably right. But
it could be come down the wire. I know what's the line right now? 21.5,
22. Yeah, we'll see. But in a roundabout way, yeah, South Carolina's not good, and you know I don't think A&M's very good. So I do think it's Arkansas.
Oh, really? You think Arkansas's the play here?
I think Arkansas's the play, and I don't like either. I don't think either
to
of these teams
cover money line
to win the game.
Yeah,
2.5.
I honestly, you talk about fool's gold, and I said this with the Miami win. I'm actually kind of glad that win was so messy and was so ugly, because had A&M blown Miami out, I would feel probably way more confident going into this weekend, and that would probably hurt my feelings a lot. The thing about games like this, that there's obviously the pride within the matchup themselves, but the bigger picture of where these two programs are with Jimbo Fisher, with Sam Pittman, who, and by the way, I would like to say this, and I made fun of Arkansas fans for being delusional. Every fan base is delusional. If you don't love Sam Pittman as an Arkansas fan, you're just dumb. Like, Sam Pittman is awesome for that team. There's no doubt. He to me, fits the program like Ed Orgeron fit LSU, just like very Arkansas-type guy. However,
do they have the two most electric, do they have the two most electric coaches in terms of men's basketball and football together? Of that fan base?
I mean, if you ask Arkansas fans, I would say
like Musselman and Pittman. Like,
I feel, doesn't Michigan State I forget the name of basketball.
Izzo's kind of boring.
Izzo's boring as fuck.
Fair.
I'm just
and also Mel Tucker's just like
yeah. File that away.
Well,
of the Power Five, file that one away. I think you can.
And Arkansas fans too. They love both of those guys, but they should. They absolutely should.
They're not Power Five yet, but Holgorsen and Sampson is a pretty good combo.
Holgorsen and Sampson.
Yeah, that's a good combo. That's a good combo. I know they're not Power Five yet, but they're about.
That's
to be.
A good combo for sure. But it's kind of related because, like you said, they should love them. So,
they
yeah,
should.
Pittman, like, is he going to win national championships? Probably not. But, like, I want a guy I can get behind. I don't want a boring, like, you know, I mean, Jim.
This is,
I don't know if I want Jimbo Fisher.
Well.
It's boring. I'm just, you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to be middle of the road, give me a guy to get irrationally excited about.
I see what you're saying.
That's
Jimbo,
all.
Jimbo's not boring.
I'd rather be Texas A&M right now than Arkansas, without a doubt. They're Texas Fair. A&M, and I understand Arkansas fans will be like, what are you saying? But Texas A&M's in a much better spot. They have more money. They have Fair. A better facility. It's the whole nine. Fan bases are just as crazy, same. Texas A&M has a bigger fan base just because it's a bigger school and whatnot, and it's a bigger state, da-da-da-da. But I wish these games were played on campus. I get why they're not. You guys make money off of this. It's good for both programs, but I wish they were on state on campus.
100% agree. If this was at Razorback Stadium or at Kyle Field this weekend, like the hate's going to be there no matter what.
Yeah,
and obviously Arkansas is not far from Dallas or Arlington where the stadium is. My dad would get really mad if you heard me say Dallas. Living in Arlington, it's Arlington. College Station, not far. The hate is going to be there, and this is what I have to say. This, if Arkansas wins this game, I plan to not talk about Arkansas for a long time because I have given that fan base so much shit. Which, by the way, I'm going to continue to do. Like, I love whenever people are like, oh, well, you were wrong. Well, I'm still going to continue to give your fan base shit. But the respect that will be due, not just because if Arkansas beats A&M, I think they're a better team, because this has been such a one-sided, quote, rivalry in the past 10 years. If Arkansas beats them 2 years
Well, the 21st century, because you guys haven't – there was what? The last time they played was when? 95 or something?
They have not – so I love pulling this stat out because, you know, again, Arkansas fans – and not just – it's not just –
you go back to the Winsipedia, Katie, thank you.
It literally is anything, but they've won 4 times since I was alive. And I know there was a massive gap.
Yeah.
But 4 times since I have been walking the planet Earth, Arkansas has won.
Did they play when McFadden was there?
No.
No.
They didn't, right?
No.
Because that was when they were SEC versus Big 12.
Yeah,
Quo.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, so there was a – I mean, you see the massive gap. That
I just
it's crazy. So Johnny never beat him?
No.
That's crazy.
Wait. Yeah, he did.
Go?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, 13 he did.
Yeah.
12 he did.
Yeah, 12 and 13.
Oh, so do you guys not – you guys played before you won in the SEC? You won in the SEC in when? 2012?
2012 was the first season.
So then you guys played 3 times before you got in the SEC.
And, yeah.
It must have been scheduled.
It was scheduled and it
okay.
was – and that was, you know, when you
– I was a mallet, yeah.
Every time you hear –
or no, it wasn't.
A&M fans talking about this, it's like, well, since A&M's been in the SEC, you know.
Right.
So,
okay.
So that's – I mean, in the last –
Jerry Jones was an Arkansas guy, right?
Nope. That's why
I figured, yeah.
Yeah, no, Johnny.
I read the book with the Cowboys, I remembered. And then Jimmy Johnson was also an Arkansas guy, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So Johnny obviously beat them. Johnny's first year as a starter was in the SEC. But until, even like when Johnny was there, that game wasn't even like, who cared about it? Since then, it has been a very weird series, like I mentioned,
because Arkansas was so down, but they'd always get up for your game. You'd beat
that
them like
so weird.
You'd like Kellen Moniers, you'd beat them like 35-31 in overtime or something.
And
they were bad, like Arkansas was bad then, and you guys
bad.
Were good then.
Bad.
That was the Chad Morris years, that was the yeah,
Brett Bielema.
I mean, those are one score games, these are all
yes.
one score.
Jeff Banks,
all, yeah, one blowout.
Jeff Banks was the you fired someone midseason?
No,
then why did Banks coach that game?
Why does it say that?
Yeah, this thing has like a 90% track record.
I mean, Jeff Banks was on the staff then.
Maybe someone was sick?
No, because this game is always in September, and like, you know, the age-old joke was that the wheels would fall off in November. Someone was fired after the season. Unless I'm just having complete dementia here, which could be true.
He was interim head coach in 2017.
For the bowl game, right?
They fired after the Sunday loss to LSU.
Yeah.
So I think someone must have done, they auto-populated it back. Someone was fired after the regular season.
Beside the point, this game is weird. So my thought is that it would be an absolute nightmare as a fan to lose to Arkansas. From a standpoint of the teams, A&M doesn't want to lose to Arkansas, but if it was going to happen again, these two teams don't match up well in a lot of different ways. If A&M does beat Arkansas, I will be insufferable. Again, from a fan standpoint,
yeah.
Because I can separate the fan bases from the actual teams themselves, and I have to say, and all credit to them, Arkansas fans are the worst on social media. I would go toe-to-toe with Texas, OU, Alabama, all those teams combined before I would give anybody else.
So what's your official prediction?
A&M wins.
Okay, perfect.
Covers?
Yes.
I mean, it's 2.5.
Yes. I know. Yeah. I don't.
Yes. A&M wins. So we'll move on past the game. It's huge. But, Rico, you mentioned it. This is another game I'm really excited about. I'm very, very high on USC. USC Oregon State
Just no respect for the Cougs.
None. And I should.
The Cougs aren't even on this list?
What do you mean?
What?
Oregon, Washington State? When she said we're going out west, I'm excited about this game.
I thought you were talking about you. Wait, hold on. You think Oregon, Washington State is more?
I love Washington. Listen, I love Washington State in that game. That's all. You don't have to put it on the list. That's fine.
No joke. I think I might have a Cane's sauce problem. I was at Raising Cane's the other day getting my box combo with extra sauce on the side like usual. I have an order. When I eat my Cane's, it goes crinkle cut fries, chicken fingers, the Texas toast, and finish strong with the slaw. So I start eating, and before I know it, I'm scraping the bottom of my sauce, and I wasn't even done with my fries yet. This habit is escalating, and I'm 100% here for it. Dip into Cane's. Get extra sauce for me, please.
I actually forgot about...
You
USC,
know what?
Oregon
Let's just
State.
Go noon. Let's start with noon, and then we'll get all the way down.
Can you look right here, Rico? Oregon, Washington State was on the list.
Oh, great.
It was on the list.
All right, so go to USC.
We're in Starboard. Friday night, Virginia, Syracuse.
Tonight is West Virginia, Virginia Tech.
Which is a big game.
Which is huge.
Coastal Carolina, Georgia State's a great game, too.
I listened to a soundbite that Grant Wells may have been broken in the game where I bet him laying 23 against Rice. They think he literally
had
broken.
Like
they think
mind.
He's literally shut down. It's a mental thing now.
I got the yips
in that game.
I get it.
He's in the graveyard as well. But I also I'm right. I wish I knew before that game. It would have been nice to cash a +23 underdog outright. But I'm on West Virginia here because Virginia Tech can't do a thing on offense.
If West Virginia loses here, how
Neil Brown is.
Is that it?
He's got to go.
I don't think he's going to get fired, but he can't.
He would have to have
an unreal run in the Big 12 to save his job.
Yeah, because Virginia Tech has looked really bad.
Right.
Against the likes of BC.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 27 against BC. I was getting like death threats from BC fans. Like, you disrespect us, you called us flavor of the week. Every year I hear BC's back. BC could be pesky. BC stinks. Shut up.
Death threats from Boston College fans over college football is very funny.
It's wild, yeah.
It's very, very funny.
All right, so then
Friday is Virginia Syracuse, like you mentioned. That's a big one at JMA Wireless.
Should be a Syracuse route.
So Carrier Dome.
It's the JMA Wireless. It's
Carrier Dome.
Whatever.
That in the Heinz Stadium.
The
Heinz Field, by the way.
Thank you. That.
The Saturday slate, so Maryland, Michigan, two undefeated teams.
That's a massive game.
Do we think Maryland has a
chance? I think they have the.
To beat them?
I think they have the. I think it could be 34-21. Like, and it's like they have the ball, they're driving.
I worry a little bit that Harbaugh, just because he got to the playoff, they think it's all fixed. He's still got a lot of problems. Like, he was the guy who had a lot of problems.
He
has a really talented roster this year. Like, this
is
a legit team.
Michigan, they lost. Like, Michigan didn't just have one loss a lot of his years.
I see what you're saying.
They screwed up some games.
I mean, the 2020 season, they were not great.
Yeah, like, he's not impermeable to losing.
No, definitely.
Oh, yeah, he's not supposed to. He has to win this game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a little secret. Jack and I were very, very high on Michigan last year. So, at least I can speak for myself. I continue to ride that. Maryland is good. It's better than what we've seen them, to be honest.
I think their defense has turned it up a little bit.
I thought Maryland was going to fuck up last week.
They didn't, though.
And they fell behind.
And they didn't worry.
Which weirdly makes me think Maryland wins this game outright, turns themselves into a contender, and then fucks up when you don't expect it. Like, who do they have next week? Virginia? whoever, like, I see them beating Michigan. I'm sorry. I'm still confused with the ACC brain because you just said Virginia. Like Northwest. Yeah, perfect. Michigan State, Purdue, Indiana. They'll lose one of those. I can see them beating Michigan and losing one of those.
With Maryland, though, and we like Taulia, and I know, you know, he...
Maryland should be in the ACC, by the way.
Brandon is very that high goes to show on Taulia, which he should be. But when you look at his history at quarterback there, like when he plays the Michigans, the Ohio States, the Penn States, that's when those big mistakes that he's made in the past really come to play. Now, I don't know if he's going to do that this year, but the difference with Maryland playing teams that they're supposed to compete with versus teams that on paper they shouldn't, like a number four in the country, Michigan, this to me smells of he might have a decent game, but he's going to make a few bad decisions on a bigger scale. And people are going to be like, oh, well, Maryland is still Maryland.
Yeah.
Then, no, this is a big is Maryland still Maryland game.
Yeah. Is Maryland still there? And also, like Katie mentioned, and we've obviously beat this into the ground on this podcast, this is Michigan's first test of sorts because of the way their non-conference games
right.
were slated. So,
and that hasn't been good. Sorry, Casey. That hasn't been good for teams who haven't been tested yet. You saw Michigan State get their shit kicked in by Washington. Now, Washington didn't really have a lot of tests either, but like teams who haven't fully been tested, when you have two of them, maybe look at the, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. And Maryland definitely has been tested with a really good SMU team. Who they beat. Michigan's yet to be tested. I think, well, I'm with Jack. I think this game could be closer than people expect.
So you're picking Maryland to cover, it sounds like?
Yeah. I would, yeah, but
I don't think they're going to love win.
It. I'm not betting it.
Yeah, but not betting.
I think you could even see Michigan up 28 100%. And Taulia goes down the field like two drives late in the fourth.
Because we know nothing about Michigan.
Baylor, Iowa State's a big game in the Big 12, specifically for Baylor, because if Baylor loses this one, my prediction of them being like just like, ugh. Is really true. Iowa State also, this is the first real game for Hunter Dekkers outside of Iowa. And he didn't play well against Iowa, but it wasn't a downpour.
You can't really take that into consideration when you look at, like, where, like, if I was going to say how much that said about him versus just how much that said about the game as a whole, you're right.
Like, yeah, it was downpouring.
I have Iowa State's win total under, so I'm going to start panicking if they beat Baylor here.
Which they have a chance to do.
I think they're going to.
I think with Baylor, because Jack, I agreed with you in the offseason that I thought Baylor was going to have a disappointing season for what their expectations were because they
won
the Big 12. This is not only huge for Baylor, because like you said, if they lose, like what are we doing? This is huge for Blake Shapen too, because they loved him in the offseason. I mean, if you didn't talk well or talk good about him, like you were basically calling their families like the worst thing possible.
Can you go to Iowa State's schedule?
Yeah, can go to Iowa State. That's...
I think it's 7.5 or 7.
You see.
Next week is not, I mean, can't.
If Iowa State wins this game.
They are favored.
4-0. I think they're going to, and I think they'll beat Kansas 5-0. Kansas State 6-0. They could go into a Texas game where Texas has, let's say they beat Oklahoma. That's a really, really big Big 12 game. But I think this is Iowa State team. Like, it's not as good as years past, but I think it's sneaky good. This is a test, though.
Iowa State is one of those teams this season that's like they're not – I don't think they're going to be in contention in November for the Big 12, but they're definitely going to – and I say this about multiple other teams as well. It's like they're going to be there to fuck shit up. They're going to beat somebody that
– I think the whole Big 12 is like that. We'll find out. Like Kansas State I was very high on, 18-1 to win the Big 12. They lose to Tulane.
Yeah.
Could Kansas State beat Oklahoma outright? Yeah, I think the Big 12 is in a huge like – back and forth type. I think there's a lot of teams together there. And Texas now, you know, if Texas you thought was going to separate themselves, they don't have viewers.
Mm.
I could see somebody winning the Big 12 with a minimum two conference losses because it's a true round robin. I really do think. I don't know who elevates themselves in
it. It is a true round
robin. And that's going to kill them for the playoff.
So you mentioned TCU, SMU. So
these two teams hate each other, and now it's crazy that Dykes is at TCU after he beat them at SMU for a couple of times.
I'm huge on TCU.
Are you?
For this game and for the season. I'm huge on them. I think they're someone that could win the Big 12.
I thought they were going to be down. They do look good, and I like Dykes.
Yeah, I thought there was too much going on ahead of them.
I wish Chandler Morris did not get injured, but Duggan isn't that bad.
Yeah, Max Duggan will be playing, and he's – I mean,
oh, Max Duggan's still there, huh? Oh, my God.
He feels like he's been there forever. This game is – you talk about sneaky teams that hate each other a lot, obviously in that area. Everybody knows they hate each other. If you're a big time college football fan, you know. Like, this is a huge, I mean, a group of
something happened with this, like, too. This, like, they were taking shots back and forth with each other. There's some sound bites in this game in the past couple of years. They're not, yeah. The exact quote isn't popping off in my head, but I know for a fact that they hate each other.
Oh, definitely.
And and were vocal about it.
Yeah, and then the coach going to, yeah.
To leaving. I mean, it's the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Like, they just, they do. They hate it. And they're both private schools.
I feel like not enough people are talking about just the whole narrative of Sonny Dykes. Like,
it's because I think that from the outside looking in, if you're looking at, like, the college football slate of all the games that are being played, like, most people would say that this isn't even the biggest game in that area this weekend because of the A&M Arkansas game. But when you look at the storylines, you're absolutely right.
I think this is the number one. Okay, this is going to be so clear. It's the number one storyline game for me, I think, this weekend.
I guess.
Not necessarily matchup. I think storyline, just the background with the head coach swapping, like, now both teams kind of stink, but Colorado State and Nevada, that kind of thing, I think, is super interesting.
I think that, you know, I mean, SMU, like we just mentioned, they lost to Maryland, but...
No one comes to Texas for Fort Worth. Rashee Rice said that about TCU. These guys hate each other.
I think Rashee Rice is still there.
No, Rashee Rice is definitely still there for SMU. He's good. The best player.
He's
unbelievable.
The best, yeah,
no,
yeah.
He's
a really great wide receiver.
And Mordecai is a live quarterback that if you don't watch, you know, you don't watch these teams, like you're an SEC fan or you have no reason to watch SMU, whatever. Mordecai's really good. He's done some stuff where I bet him in big spots and he can't get over the edge.
Now Mordecai
fully, but Mordecai's legit.
If Chandler Morris was still playing and not injured, that would be a matchup of both Oklahoma transfer quarterbacks.
Tanner Mordecai also feels like he's 28 years old.
He is. He's one of those that's still around because of the COVID year.
Yeah, he's just been there forever.
And then another great game in the noon slot. It's not great, but if Auburn loses, yeah. Brian Harsin may be fired by the time we record.
If he loses to Missouri, especially how bad Missouri has been, and also even when they have won that division, it's still Missouri. You know, and I know that that's rich coming from me, but you're right. Like, Auburn cannot lose to Missouri, especially with the hot seat with Brian Harsin. Duke, Kansas also at 12.
Kansas just announced they sold out for this game. Yep. First real sellout, I think, in a long time for them. I mean, think about it. Last year, they were begging people to come in at halftime.
Yeah, what was the game that was like they
Kansas,
opened up?
Oklahoma.
They were tweeting it out. They're like, open up the stands if you can come.
Yes, they were
and then they did.
Game day should have thrown them a bone and gone to this game. Yeah, they can.
Yeah, they went to
new environments.
They went to App State Troy.
Y'all should be going. Y'all should be going. We got Kansas Sportsbook.
That is a good point, Jack. It's a great point.
We can't be saying anymore, game day should go.
When we have a show.
Yeah, but we're the premier show. They know they're second in line.
Okay, fair. I see what you're saying.
Keep that energy.
You don't know how much is clicking up there.
Yeah,
you
still talking to the mic.
You still thinking.
You
know how much
I don't disrespect you like that.
They don't know how much is clicking up there.
Big brain stuff.
Yeah, no, they are.
So, I mean, yes, listen. I mean, you talk about Duke, Kansas both being 3-0 and both being
crazy.
The quintessential basketball schools. But then also, we talk about Lance Leipold all the time, which why wouldn't we? He's incredible. I think that he's going to start getting calls from big time major jobs. Mike Elko turning around.
No, 100%.
Is also massive.
Hate it.
Mike Elko.
He's gonna
Mike Elko is one of the best hires of the past few years we haven't talked about. And I think Duke's a school that you can turn around from like, they're not going to win the ACC, but you
could turn to an ACC championship in the last, like, that's crazy.
You can go 9-3 at Duke.
Duke was horrific growing up.
Oh, horrific. UConn would play them in, like, the mid-2000s and just, like, run them over. And UConn, like, was a G5 team.
I mean, they, like, you look at their football program, and it's crazy now to think that there was a time where a Power 5 school couldn't care less about their football program, but they didn't. Like, Duke was winless in the ACC for years and years.
Like,
they were
for the past 2 years, people, NC State fans will chirp me and be like, we know you're, like, you're a real rival for football. It's not Duke. I'm like, you're right.
It hasn't been a thing.
My freshman year, we lost to them, and it's
been straight. They weren't good, but, like, David Cutcliffe, like, you know, he was there for a long time, and we gave him a lot of praise because
he had a pro quarterback. That's a rarity at Duke.
It's not like they were having losing seasons every
year. No. They would make bowl games.
Yeah. They bowl games. I remember one specifically that was not so much fun to watch until the very end.
Oh, yeah, that was a great game, though.
Johnny Manziel game. But this game between Duke and Kansas, I love because, first of all, I think Kansas deserves a lot more respect.
Duke was in the Belk Bowl, the infamous Belk Bowl, and then Cincinnati in the SVP.
But that was against Cincinnati.
Bad beats.
Yeah.
Against
Cincinnati.
Right, I forgot about
That's one of those games.
Duke was up massive on Cincinnati, and then it's the SVP start.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, I know the clip immediately.
And Travis Kelce was on Cincinnati.
Yeah. They say the name Kelce. Yeah. That's also one of those games that people now like. It's like cool to Cincy. It's like,
it's one of those. It's like, oh, I was at the Bills,
Oilers.
The Oilers. Everyone was at that game.
The Cheez-It Bowl.
Yeah, 250,000 people were
exactly.
At that game.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're right, Jack, with Mike Elko. So this game is going to be, I mean, low key, it is one of my favorite games.
Obviously. Yeah, it's great that it's at noon too. Like,
I hope Kansas
take a look
beats
at
the
it.
Shit out of them.
I'm going to hate. I listen. What Leipold's doing is great. He deserves all the credit. I will not like Leipold if he fucks up my favorite bet of the year, which is Kansas State laying blind against Kansas. I'm convinced when Bill Snyder left, he cleaned out his office. He handed in his thing. He also handed a little envelope to Klieman. That said, this is how you beat the shit out of Kansas. Because Klieman's been – it's my favorite game to bet.
That is
it's
true.
It's my favorite. There were a couple of years in like – I say it all the time. Like it was my game of the year in 2011 and 2012. The line was like 11. They beat the – Kansas beat the shit out of – Kansas State beat the shit out of Kansas. It was a joke. They won like 59-10. The next year they won like 55-24.
Look at that.
I was in
– Look at those.
Right after the – pull up like the 2011, 2012, 2013 ones.
56-16, yes. 2012.
50, I think it was 2011 and 2012. Those were my game of the years. Unbelievable. And then when they found out about the hype
circle, my back was against the wall.
Kansas State beat the shit out of them a couple years ago on stream.
Who'd
like
you
it was
give
great.
Your game of the year to in 2012?
I had an email distribution list.
Okay.
Of friends. Why?
I was just wondering.
Yeah. No. And a buddy of mine, it's funny. That's where the line came from in the email. I wish I'll pull it up or I have to go digging. A buddy, they laughed so hard, he sent it to his friends. The line was, Bill Snyder, all he does is wear out-of-style windbreakers and beat the shit out of Kansas. Because I had read an article about Bill Snyder that said he was such a like old man and, you know, he lost a little bit. He'd go to his closet in the morning and pull out a windbreaker, and it would say like Alamo Bowl or like Belk Bowl, or you know, I'm
like
screwing
from
up
1992,
and they'd be like, "Bill, we're not associated with that bowl anymore.
Oh,
you can't
wear
the
like
windbreaker.
It would be like the wrong sponsor,
wrong thing. It was out of style. It was older, but the man just was unbelievable.
You opened up his
unbelievable. I love that.
You
guy.
Opened up his closet. It was just windbreaker.
So that's a crazy tangent, but
now I have
I'm worried about Kansas State, Kansas. Now I think the line could be like 3. It's crazy.
Yeah, I have a play I love a lot at 2 o'clock.
Okay, go back to the slate, Jack. What is it?
2 o'clock. I think Fordham and Ohio are going to score 100 points. So, Katie, can you just
that's
go up to Fordham?
So it's going
to
be a while to get a line, but
no, the total right now is at 70.5. Look at Fordham.
Okay,
it may not be on ours. Oh yep. No, there it is. Where is it? 70.5.
Oh.
Now go back to the matchup, Katie. Can you just scroll on? Okay, Fordham has allowed 31 points, 49 points, and 45 points, but they're 3-0. They've scored 48, 52, and 48. Ohio, if you take away Iowa State and Penn State's defenses are both top 25 defenses in the country. When they went up against an FAU, who's not a bad defense, they scored 41 points. I think they're going to be able to score 50 points on Ohio, on Fordham, maybe even 60. And Fordham's going to come out there with Tanner DeMoret, who, fun fact, is the cousin or nephew of Tosh.0, and he's going to throw. Look at, he's thrown for 16 touchdowns in 3 games.
Here's the number. Here's the only.
In 3 games.
Here's where I know you're on to something. They allowed 46 points
to Wagner.
To Iowa State.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
Ohio
yeah.
Ohio allowed 46 points to Iowa State. Iowa State needs 3 games, 43 points. Iowa State needs 3 games to score 43 points.
Look at this.
That tells me how bad Ohio's offense defense is. Fordham will do what they need to do to get the points.
I think there's going to be 90 to 100 points in this game. You may look in and be like, wait, like Ohio beat Fordham 63-42? Like, what
Jack's
happened in that game?
Jack's trying to get a lightning bet on the over.
I love it. And, like, just looking at, you know, we're looking at the preview on here. The funniest thing to me is that Fordham players don't even get their own headshots.
It's
just their jerseys. But
well, Fordham's produced some, Joe Moore head coach there. Vince Lombardi coach played there. Chase Edmonds played there. They're not a bad football program. It's not like it's
wasn't
a joke.
The guy Skelton there,
yes,
too?
Yes, John Skelton.
Okay, great play. So we talked about the Florida-Tennessee game. Texas in Lubbock at Texas Tech.
And it looks
it could
like,
get weird.
So Quinn Ewers is officially traveling and dressing.
Ooh.
And that's official.
What's going on with Shao? I say his name wrong every time.
We all do. He's not going to be back until at least the 8th. 8th of
all right. So that game but Donovan Smith's good, but it's still a good one.
And this—that is another one of those, like you know, especially if you're a Texas Tech fan, you want to beat the shit out of Texas. They've not been very good. Texas is obviously the clear favorite here.
Still, maybe the best regular season game I've ever watched. Texas that? Halloween night, 2008, or day after Halloween, Halloween parties.
But do you remember 2020? When's the do you remember the last time that Texas and Texas Tech played at Tech?
Not often.
Bajillion points.
It was the jillion points, and it was the guy. It was the Tech quarterback, I forget his name. He turned around to the camera. He was on the phone.
Yes.
They were up by 2 touchdowns with like 3 minutes left, and he put the horns down,
wait,
and they
wait,
lost.
Wait. No, I think this is a clip. Dave.
Dave. Yes.
The coach, right?
Dave had
supposed to be a guest.
Oh, what happened?
Well, you're just bringing up bad memories.
Well, I didn't. I
don't
remember
how you treat guests.
I did. There was. I probably brought
he
up.
Knew,
so
he
I.
Knew.
I didn't.
No, it's fine. I thought Texas Tech was really bad. You're right. I just forget. They all run together. But you're right. I do remember that game.
And that was the.
I just.
The infamous.
I
it's how it goes. No, he's right to bring it up. But it was an electric game. But.
Down.
Yeah,
and then
the line. I believe the line was 18, and they lost outright.
No, Texas won. They
Texas
back.
Did end up winning.
They won in overtime.
Yes. Dave also thought Texas Tech was live on the money line, so he bet the both. He was taunting
he bet them,
me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Got it.
And, but it was in Philly.
And then he
I
had every right.
Philly.
100%. He had every right to say, how could you be crazy laying the 18? But they were up 14 late, so it's kind of like.
That's another game that. And you talk about Texas going to the SEC and leaving. Like, Texas Tech fans are not happy.
Yeah.
About that
Crabtree game back in 08 was still the best I've ever watched in my life.
Let's go back to the slate. What else is it the afternoon? So
UNC
Oregon,
North
Wazoo.
Carolina.
That's a big game.
Which one?
UNC North Carolina.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. UNC Notre Dame.
UNC Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame is just bad. They're just bad.
But we'll see.
So
but this is a big test for them. Like, are they just bad, or did they have a bad game against Marshall and then kind of figure it out against Cal?
And then also, is North Carolina really bad?
Can Drake May just dice them up? Also, how about
the Drake May stuff? For...
Yeah, they made him apologize. I get why, but it's so soft.
I hate that. I hate the SID for football.
So people who go to state just can't get into Carolina?
Which is usually...
Why is that? I don't think that's that bad.
Well, I get why, but it's like an elitist thing to say. But
they made
UNC, outside of Duke, is the elite institution in North Carolina. It's like...
Right.
They were the tea fan, sipping tea fans. That's what everyone
knows. That's what it's like. It's the elite. Yeah. Like the elitist thing to say. But he said it in a joking way. It's like, and he's the quarterback of UNC.
Yeah, that's what they made. Our women's head basketball coach Courtney.
I remember
Benhart,
that.
I think she called NC State fans classless. I think, or something very minor, like classless, just arrogant, or something. And there was a whole graphic apology. Like, no,
NC
it's
State's
a rivalry.
Coach said so, that about UNC, right?
No, we said that about them.
Oh, okay.
Our
I remember
UNC
that.
Head coach.
You're supposed to say this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we just went through Spurrier's quotes. He said the quote about Auburn. There was a fire in the library, and he said they said 20 books were burned, and the man said the shame was that 15 weren't colored yet.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
need that shit in college.
Also,
like, you know.
What's the clip that gets brought up every Michigan State? It's Mike Hart, right?
Yes.
Saying, calling him little bro.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that makes it fun. But
as long as it's, you know, as long as it's playful at heart, like, yeah, that's what sports are supposed to be.
Right, he's.
You know, Saban and Jimbo were going at each other. It was a pillow fight this year. Dan talked about it on Pick'em. Like, that was a pillow fight compared to the shit that used to go.
Oh.
John Calipari told – or John Chaney told John Calipari he was going to kill him, college basketball.
What?
Like, let's get back to – I don't necessarily condone that. Oh. But let's get back to healthy rivalries. Yeah, let's get back to healthy rivalries.
I would like my head coach to say they're going to kill somebody as long as they don't mean it.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know what? I mean, that's fine.
Let them get nuts.
No, it should be.
Minnesota, Michigan State.
Big one.
You know, Minnesota being 3-0 and Michigan State losing the way they did last week. It's a good bounce back spot.
I'm going to bet Minnesota. PJ Fleck has already been in the graveyard. This is a get out of the graveyard spot. I don't like Michigan State. I thought we exposed what they saw last week.
Okay.
I know it's at home. It's a different element.
And Minnesota lost Chris, their top receiver.
Yeah, no, I backed off of it. But
I got him at 2.5 earlier in the week. Now it's at 3. I think it may even get up to 3.5, but I think there'll be some buyback there. All that being said, this is Minnesota's game to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And but buddy, if Michigan State loses this one, it's like
bad.
Yeah,
bad.
You can't lose this one, Tuck.
Tuck's not coming if they lose. loses.
Talk is not coming for the rest of the season if they lose this one. Can you go to their schedule really quick?
If they lose this game.
Oh, my God. If they lose this game, I wouldn't be. I'm going to be honest.
Why? You love Mel
Tucker? I'm going to be honest.
Oh, he hates.
All I'm going to be honest. If they lose this game, I would not be shocked if they're 2-6 going into a game against Illinois. I would not be shocked. This is a stretch here. You cannot lose this game, Tuck. And if you lose it, I am going to be relentless.
Why do you hate them so much?
It's all of them. They've said awful things to me. They're fans.
70 IQ fans.
The 70 IQ fans. They're sub-70 IQ sometimes.
You talk about insulting intelligence. You know, you mentioned the Steve Spurrier move.
I have friends
Jack
at Michigan.
Jack and Michigan State have that. Jack, how about if they lose, Tuck's not coming.
Jack
Mack's coming.
If Michigan State loses this game, I got a video planned. That's all I'm saying.
I have friends at Michigan State. A buddy of mine walked on at Michigan State.
Okay,
I've been out there for Lions games. I didn't go to Michigan State games. I've been out there.
Draymond Green's your friend?
No. underrated camp. Like, every person that we met there was good looking at East Michigan Lansing? State. Yeah, like, underrated.
You know who's going there this weekend is Brianna O'Malley.
Yes.
Sleep When You're Dead tour.
Yeah, Sleep When You're Dead tour. So if you are there, look out for them. That will be, like, I know Michigan State will have an amazing tailgate and parties. Like, they party hard because, like, I mean, they don't really have class.
When our football show went there, that has to be the biggest crowd that you guys have ever had, right?
That's the day that we had a bigger crowd than game day.
Yeah,
like, that's what we always
you had it at a great spot too. Like, they show up, and shout out to the Michigan State fans.
They love to party. Okay, so what else in that? Oh, James
Oregon Wazoo.
I know. I'll speak for Brandon. He one of his bets that he likes a lot is James Madison over App State.
I don't know about that. I don't know if James Madison has.
He thinks
it's
a letdown spot.
I've seen some
for
people
tout
that. They like James Madison.
So Oregon Washington.
That
State.
Line
yeah,
won't
so
drop below 7 though.
Probably not. Which one? Wazoo?
No. Oregon.
Yeah.
James Madison App State has
right.
been stuck at 7.
So has Oregon. But this game is in Wazoo. Wazoo is a wild place. I mean, they carried a flag for 25 years to go to game day and never went to game. Like, these people are nuts.
Yeah, I was wondering that. Like,
it can get fucking crazy out there.
Washington?
I've always been an Oregon guy, like, watching them. I want to tell you a little story about Bo Nix, home and road.
Oh, boy.
30 touchdowns, 2 interceptions at home throughout his career. On the road and neutral games. It's road and neutral together. 16 touchdowns, 16 interceptions.
Not good, Bob.
The thing about this is Wazoo think people, I'm sure casual football fans are probably still like, hey, is Leach out there? Oh, they score 1 million points. They're crazy out there, right? This team is anchored by its defense that has 14 sacks, 31 tackles for a loss, and 7 takeaways. And their offense can get cooking when they want because
Cam Ward
is out of his tree. He's actually been – that's what's going to show you about it. Like, I thought Cam Ward was going to come in there and score 90 and they could just outscore everybody.
I mean, look at his
– He's not even clicking yet. Yeah, he's pretty good. He's not even clicking yet.
Their defense is great.
And their defense is awesome. They're not getting the respect they deserve. I don't think I need the 7. I'll take them. I think it's Wazoo outright.
If with
you look at the way that Oregon played last week and Bo Nix had a – good Bo Nix game against BYU. I mean, they absolutely
he had a great game.
Right.
He threw for 3 touchdowns and ran for 2,
right.
I think.
I'm saying, like, he had, like, when you look at the stories of Bo Nix, I mean, that was, like, they destroyed BYU. I mean, 41-20.
Without those two wide receivers. But, yeah, they did. They destroyed him. You're right.
I mean, and then that's. So the question is.
But Bo scored 5 overall touchdowns on
BYU. Oh, you're right. Listen, he had a great game.
This is now Pac-12, not SEC.
We're down on Bo Nix, and Jack usually picks us back up.
Well, it's classic Bo Nix. It's a zigzag game.
This is one of the biggest. This is one of the biggest environments for Washington. I mean, I know the Apple Cup. They've been in the races a few times, like with that, and those games are always going to outrank everything. But in terms of regular season games for Washington State, this has got to be top 3 in the last 10 years, without a doubt. That's not even me like looking. There's no doubt this is top 3 games.
Whether you're tossing the ball around with buddies or picking off passes like a pro, Optimum Nutrition can help unlock more you. Tackle your recovery with Gold Standard 100% Whey, which has 24 grams of high-quality protein per serving and more than 15 delicious, easy-to-mix flavors. Put the world's number one to the test. Available at stores nationwide and online at OptimumNutrition.com. Euromonitor International Limited. Consumer Health 2023 Edition and custom research conducted February to March 2023. Retail sales of whey protein powder in 2022.
We're going to get into the 7 o'clock games. We'll start with you guys. Iowa Rutgers, the total's at 34.5.
I love the under.
Gross.
More points or punts in that game?
Punts.
Punts.
Definitely punts. That's
that should be a prop.
Should be.
I like that. Wisconsin, Ohio State. I mean, Wisconsin, you talk about.
Talk about a game that like gonna get is, waxed. Like no one's talking
they
about.
They haven't won at the Big House, I mean, at the Horseshoe, in like 17 years. Like they, it's been since the early 2000s. Obviously, it's at the Horseshoe, so that's not great.
Wisconsin, I'll say this. If Ohio State does not click against Wisconsin, you start to worry about Ohio State a little bit.
How many points?
Because you could score 77 against whoever the fuck they beat last week.
But Toledo.
Toledo. But you scored 21 against Notre Dame, who stinks. And now let's say you score 21 or 24 against Wisconsin. I'm starting to worry about Ohio State delivering against elite teams.
How many points does Ohio State need to win by at minimum for you to be worried?
No, it's more scoring. If they win, to
well, okay, so it's not, it's
if
not
they
spread,
win
it's...
20, if they win 20 nothing, I'm still a little concerned. Like I have less of an issue with Ohio State winning 49-24.
Fair,
if that makes sense. Like I think Ohio State, you got if all this offense and all this offense, you couldn't do dick against Notre Dame. You got to click. You got to click against somebody bad here.
Defense has played well. I mean, I understand that they lost a couple weeks ago as like a billion point favorite, but Ohio State's offense was clearly the best offense going into the season. I think that we said that they had all, you know, Texas is there with Quinn Ewers, but that was more, that was unproven. But Wisconsin's offense, you know, Braylon Allen, obviously people love to talk about him. It is much more balanced now with their new offensive coordinator. And Ohio State's defense, you know, we saw what happened against Notre Dame, and now we know what Notre Dame's offense looks like. Ohio State's defense could be tested. That was their problem last year.
This is a remind us game for Ohio State. I think they're going to go out there and they're just going to throw the ball around. Yep. The crazy thing is, like, if you look at their offense right now, the guys who are putting up massive numbers are not Jackson Smith and Jigba. It's Marvin Harrison Jr., who, shocker, Marvin Harrison Jr. is amazing. And then, two, Amika, what's his name? Mecca. Yeah, just go to their the third wide receiver. Yeah, Amika Egbuka. Yeah. And Cade Stover's a good tight end, too.
They always have a good
look at Jackson Smith and Jigba has only had four receptions this year for 36 yards.
He's also been living a little injured.
Yeah, he has. You remember? Yeah.
And they're tight end, too. What is it?
Stover.
Cade Stover.
They've always had a good tight end.
And then they have Julian Fleming, too. It's like, it's crazy.
They have so many weapons.
And then Trevion Henderson hasn't even turned in the form. I think this is, I'm on the over here. I see a 49-14 type game. And a remind you that, like, hey, we're here. And we can still throw the ball around, and our defense is nasty, too.
More night games.
Poor Vanderbilt going to Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, UConn, NC State.
There was a game a couple of years ago where Vanderbilt was getting a little bit of respect. I think they started like 3-0.
Hey, Bama.
And the line was only 7. And people were like, you know what? If Bama doesn't show up, look out. And Alabama beat.
It was 55-0.
Rakes off of them.
It was
and that's like one of those things your parents tell you about, like when milk was a dollar. Milk was like a dollar a gallon or 59 cents a gallon. That was Alabama -17 against Vanderbilt. Yep. That is folklore.
That was the game.
A gift.
That was the game that the guy before the game was the Hawaiian player on Vandy looked in the camera and was like, "Bama, you're coming to our house next week." And he had such a like a feminine voice. Yep. And then it was also the game that the kid was sitting alone. And there's the graphic underneath 55-0. And it was also the game, Tua threw his first Power 5 touchdown in. And rumor has it, that game when he threw that touchdown in, Sark, after that, begged Saban. He was like, "No, we have to start him right now." And Saban was like, "No, we're sticking with Hurts.
Wow.
Interesting.
I also love that your brain not only knows rumors, X's and O's, and all the players, the memes.
Yeah.
Because you're like the king of social media.
Well, and lines, too. Like, I'll never get that back.
No, yeah.
Right, never.
That's like somebody could say, "Hey, I want you to invest in my startup. What is it? Uber. I'm going to pass." I'll never get Alabama -17 back against Vanderbilt. I'll never get that back. Kansas State has to win the game. I don't know if they will, but
they will.
For my ticket, I think it's a get. Maybe it was a look ahead last week with Tulane, and Willie Fritz is really good. Kansas State. Yeah, I know. But Kansas State gives them problems. Manhattan's a different story. It's in Oklahoma, obviously, but normal.
Oklahoma is my lock of the week for this.
Oklahoma is just, I mean, it's, you know, Brandon said it. and you know, it's kind of a joke, but not really, is that Lincoln Riley left and immediately made both USC and Oklahoma better. But Venables is doing thus far, and I know Nebraska's horrible, but still, like, that statement they made. Some more night games for, I mean, Boston College, Florida State is kind of a sneaky one, because, you know, we're looking at what Florida State's doing.
I won't watch 1 second of that one.
It's all right. Oh, it's on the ACC network. You can anyways.
No, you get ACC.
Oh, it's the Pac-12 network. We can't ever get anywhere.
That's what USC, yeah, Oregon State's
USC,
on.
USC, Oregon State. Jack, you mentioned this last podcast, that you think this is a huge spot for what USC's defense is going to be able to do.
Because if Chase Nolan just dices them up, I think you could really – like, I'm starting to really be concerned. Because I think if Jake Hanner stays in the game – when USC played Fresno, I think Fresno scores 31, 38 points. McKee could have scored 45.
Stanford I don't love, and USC was, one, lucky to cover with that somehow on the back door, but also they had a bunch of turnovers in the red zone. I think Stanford might have missed a field goal. Like, that game was way closer than expected, but USC can score when they want to score.
They,
so
yeah, they can score well. But Oregon State's secondary, I mean, they have – I mean, I know we're only just a few weeks into the season, but they have a good amount of interceptions. I think they're in the top 10 in the country for the amount of interceptions they have.
Only 215 passing yards allowed per game so far, which is very impressive because they've been ahead for a lot of their games.
This is a huge game for, you talk about like a midterm, and I mean, this is not Utah versus USC, but this is a huge game to see like exactly where USC's defense is. We know where their offense is. We don't need to know what Caleb Williams looks like, what the wide receivers look like, but this is a huge game. And then no one's going to be able to watch because it's on the Pac-12.
I would not be surprised if Oregon State wins this game. I think this is a sneaky, like...
Everyone's going to be
Oregon
on
Oregon State
USC
could be a little bit of a dark... And I love USC. I think they're very good. But Oregon State could be a little bit of a dark horse in the Pac-12. The one thing I want to talk about Oregon State, USC real quick, there's fires out there in terms of, like, that fog and different shit like that. I'm hearing it's difficult to breathe.
Really?
I got the DM. I'm just saying.
There are fires out there.
Take a look at that under. The over is through the roof. It's a very, very high number. Take a look at that under of like, what
crazy.
It's – look into the beat reporters. Take a read on it. Like,
wow.
Take a look.
70.5.
Yeah, it's 70.5, and it's a little bit difficult.
What do you think of
there
when I say wildfires?
Why am I blanking on his name?
I think uncontrollable.
Oh my god! Vince Chase and the wildfire movie.
Okay, I think of Mississippi, or not Mississippi State, Wazoo Cal Friday night. There's the old guy wearing the a gas mask over his face, and the total for the game was like 75, and the final was like 13-10.
Yeah. It's crazy.
You're talking about when he was
so there. You go. That there's smoke jumpers. Wildfire is also a Nine Brave Souls. It's also a very underrated John Mayer song.
So we've got Vinny Chase and Entourage, a Friday night football game.
And under. That under, though, if it's 70 and you already saw, like, it went to 23, there you go. There's already basis.
If it's really bad, it does affect. It really has a significant effect on you.
You know what's so crazy, and I know every time there's big wildfires out west that this is said, but how much of the time there are fires going on and how crazy those fires can get, and people just don't talk about it unless it's like a catastrophe, bless you.
Or Hollywood gets ruined,
Or it's like the ones in the Hollywood Hills where celebrities are having.
That's how it goes,
It's wild. So that's a slate. Huge.
I love at 10:30 Sanford, Washington over.
Yeah, I mentioned that. Sanford obviously is not great. Washington being ranked.
But this isn't an old school Stanford team that just runs the ball. They throw the ball all around. And Washington, the total is up to like 65. I got it at 61.5. But
63, yeah.
So I think, but I still like it. I think Washington scores. They run a fast offense, and I think Stanford does the same.
How do you think Arizona State's going to do coachless versus?
That's one of those, like, are they going to pull it together or not?
No,
they could probably, they'll be a shit show.
I also kind of like, I do like Hawaii against New Mexico State. This is their game.
That's fine, as long as they don't win four more.
They're not going to.
There you go.
They're the worst team in the country.
No, New Mexico State's worse.
Really early.
They're worse.
But
look at that game. Doesn't even have a TV network. It's blank.
You know what?
You never
Facebook.
See that.
That'll be on Facebook.
Yeah, or like U Stadium.
Only game that's not on a network.
Yep. Well, UConn.
But what used to be fun in those games is that New Mexico State and Hawaii's defenses were so bad, but they did have like a respectable offense. I don't even think their offense is a good. I just think it's going to be a gross, ugly. Like, that should be a Glenny Bowles over bowl game that you get really excited about. Those two teams just suck.
New Mexico
State. That's nothing you want to watch about that
New
game.
Mexico State's offense is legitimately one of the worst offenses college football has ever seen.
It's putrid. You know, you have a great point, Jack. We've talked about this over the last couple of weeks, too. Every single game is on TV or on a streaming network. If you're not on any broadcast whatsoever, I mean, that's just a sign to tell you how little people give a shit.
Yeah. For looking at tickets, sorry, Brandon Walker, but tied for lowest at $4 is Bowling Green at Mississippi State.
So I was actually told this is not a great way to look at it. Because, you can get in standing room only, but not even get into the stadium. You get into like a pre-club.
Doesn't for some like baseball stadiums do that? Where
yeah,
like
but extra... college football stadiums do it too. So tickets as low as like, we looked at the Bama-Texas one, and it was tickets as low as $20.
Yeah.
But you didn't even get a seat, or you couldn't even see the stadium for $20. Yeah, I mean, the actual Cowboys tickets were $250.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys standing room, they have like the party decks or whatever. They do the same thing, and it's like $100 to get in or whatever.
Yeah, if you are buying tickets, use Game Time.
Yep.
Good job, Rico. Jack, how long have we been...
This is our longest podcast of the season so far.
Then should we just end it there then?
Well, we did put out the tweet. Let's read them quickly.
Okay, let's read some tweets quickly. It has been a long podcast, but I feel like it's been a good one.
No, this has been fine. Okay. I was just saying it has been...
Okay, so hi, Roughnecks. We need your hottest take heading into week 4. The temperature is right. We'll read it on tonight's show. And then great gift. I'm a man, I'm 40, which was like 13 years ago.
15 today. Years ago to the day.
15 years ago today?
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, so our friend Brad, who Brandon is not here to yell at, he says Michigan will roll Maryland by 40. Talia throws 3 interceptions. Hello, Brandon. We talked about that. This is one of those games he would do that. Barstool, Colorado. Colorado will win a game this year.
I don't know about that one.
I don't know. That's high hope.
Hey, if you guys remember, the two totals, win totals that I gave out on our show back in May was Arizona over, which is looking really good, and Colorado under. Someone's phone is.
I think it's Rico's.
Yeah. Yeah. I think UCLA first half against Colorado is a gift as well. -10.5. After barely beating South Alabama, guys banged up. Colorado, you could do whatever you want against them.
I do like UCLA Nate getting it. Like, he's a guy that is like college football. Obviously, Maryland used to be a much bigger deal, but when they get good, fans get back in the mix. And Nate saying Tali is the best quarterback in the Big Ten. I mean, that's a hot take, but. He is pretty good.
Yeah, he is. Grant Addison says no one from the SEC West escapes with fewer than 2 losses. That would be wild.
Wow, that'd
I mean, that's a hot take. That would be crazy. You talk about it. I know Brandon said this last week. Like, the word cannibalism is not always correct. That would be cannibalism in a division.
I'm rooting for that.
Michelle K40 says Tennessee fans will behave better than Iowa fans, which is saying a lot about Iowa fans. Uses the gif of Lane Kiffin.
The golf ball thing was unbelievable.
The golf ball.
I still have Brandon's golf ball.
The mustard from that. We were at that game last year. Tennessee almost when everything came raining on the field. We have our Just Pose. Just Pose listens to like every single thing that we do. Both Michigan and Iowa State are going to Ohio State. Both Michigan and Ohio State are going to struggle on Saturday, much later into the game than expected, and neither will cover the spread.
Oregon State is going to be undefeated to come out of the Pac-12. I could possibly see that happening.
That's from Jeb.
They're pesky.
Hot dog,
they're
shotgun.
Pesky. You know. They're pesky. Keep your eye on Oregon
Eric
State.
Eckstein. Talia throws his name onto the Heisman watch list as Maryland upsets Michigan in the Big House because Michigan is unprepared due to their soft non-conference schedule. Maryland jumps out to an early lead and holds them off late to win 38-35.
I like this Clay one. Arkansas might not blow out every opponent, but they're the type of team that keep it close regardless of who they play, unless it's Georgia. This is the part I like. I love KC, but Arkansas will beat A&M by 13.5 or 13-plus points. I don't agree with that, but I thank you that you love me. I love you, too. Barstool, Colorado State, despite starting 0-3, Colorado State will somehow find their way and barely make a bowl game. That's a lot. Let's do a couple more. I like this. Redshirt Rebels podcast. Texas is a fraud. They always play up to competition at home, except for Kansas. They almost beat 2019 LSU at home. The Bama loss was not a moral victory, and this Texas team is 7-5.
Now, you could paint the parallels layer because the 2019 team, that was probably LSU's toughest game outside of the Bama game, which they honestly even handled Bama a little bit better. But you could see, we look back and we're like, oh, that was just, it's like 2019 all over again. But I don't know. We'll see.
I think they're better. All right, let's end with this one. I know that there's a lot on here, but the Golden Lion, and
Tamarine?
Duke versus Kansas will be the best game of the weekend. Rico said that earlier in the podcast. App State versus James Madison will be the second best game. All ranked teams will just continue on with little change this weekend. The second part of that's probably true. Except unless it's a ranked-on-ranked matchup. But, oh, wait, no. We're going to end with this one. Chance bitters. Mississippi State wins three of their next four. Lost to A&M, and Brandon has to hold a midnight yell in the office in his yell outfit.
Oh, man.
With a photo, the infamous photo of Brandon in the yell leader costume.
Hours before he almost got fired.
Hours before he almost got fired. He shoved a coworker. So, that's the podcast.
Thank you.
Oh, I feel great. It's we're finally starting to get into form. Like, I thought Labor Day was kind of a dud. Last week wasn't necessarily. I mean, still college football. We love it, but like, I think now we're getting into the best of the best. So I'm, you know, ready to go. It's obviously. Thank you for having me on.
You were going to be on the podcast today, and you wore death.
Yeah, I wore the right on the brand. Use code Rico, 10% off.
Thoughts and prayers to Brandon. Hopefully, he's not dead. If you are listening to this and you're in Tennessee or Knoxville or you're a Florida fan, make sure you come out to the Hill. 1:30, the whole crew will be there. And we will see you on Saturday for a rapid reaction. That's unnecessary deafness.